This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Ian Boltzmann, FUBAR Radio.
Right, is that professional?
No, it's not.
Just wittering on in the background?
Better.
I'm not restarting.
No, don't. Keep going. Hello,
welcome to the show. I can't say who's on it because Nat's just Googling something else on the screen at the moment. So I can't say who the guests are.
What?
And now she's putting back, but
I'm going to
do it
today?
In a minute. 6th of May.
Yeah.
Star Wars Day. Coming up on today's show at 1:30 PM, we have Maxim. No, 1:30 PM.
No. Oh, for love of.
At 1:30 PM, Nat.
Sorry,
you've had
my
three
bad,
weeks
my
to
bad.
Sort this out.
What day is it? What time is it? Oh yeah, that's it.
Tell me.
5.
No.
I've changed it.
4:30 PM.
I've done it.
We have Maxim Baldry in the studio to talk about his new BBC One TV show, Years and Years.
Yes.
Fine. Then at 5 PM we have Fazer in the studio.
Mm-hmm. Formerly
F-A-Z-E-R.
From N-Dubs.
Not P-H-A-S-E-R. Because it's trendy. What sort of music does Fazer do?
Bit of this.
Oh yeah.
Bit of that.
Oh yeah. Then at 5:30 PM, Daisy Waterston is in the studio to talk about the final series of the ITV One show, The Durrells.
Yeah.
How many have there been? I didn't see any of them. I don't know anything about it.
How many are in this cast?
No, how many series have there been?
This and that?
What?
Ian Boltzmann.
Welcome to the show.
Oh, that's nice. Nice new intro.
Here, Monday we are. And we're
Let's
chatting. No, don't. We don't sing along to a bed, do we? Is that
no,
what we do?
We can't have this as a
right.
bed. There's,
right,
we're not there's
having, you're not
speaking
having it
in it.
You're not having that at all. And you're not getting any speech off me. There you go. On strike. I tried something, you immediately poo-pooed it all over the place. Yeah, you had one job, Nat. Which was do that list properly, and you had all the wrong times.
I apologise, I did do that.
Yep.
It's my bad.
So go on, make up for it.
I just like to hear Vanilla Ice.
Make up for it by filling content now for the next 10 minutes. Content, come on, let's go. What are we going to talk about?
Teeth.
Okay, go for it.
How's your tooth?
Really bad. How about yours?
All right, actually, my doctor cancelled me. Dentist.
Cancelled you?
Yeah.
What, from life?
Yeah, I feel like it, yeah.
Just
yeah.
a write-off.
Yeah, they went, don't bother.
I wish mine had said, there's nothing we can do.
But they have to fix your teeth because you've got a problem.
I've not got a problem.
Well, you have. You've got a toothache, right? I think that's a problem.
I think I have a toothache.
Well, you've got a... No,
at no point did I have a toothache.
You've got no tooth.
I've got a tooth.
Have you had a... you had a filling that needed to be a new filling.
No, that didn't happen. But
it did happen. You just said they
well,
couldn't
that was
your...
early treatment, that. I'm having one next week, by the way. Listen to this. I'm having a vanity treatment, which I've been talking about my patrons. I feel a bit weird about it.
Does that mean cosmetic?
Kind of is, yeah. Mm. Because I'm having I'm having an old black filling replaced with a white one.
Oh, in the back?
Yeah.
But no well, one can see it.
In the tooth, mainly. But,
but in the back of your mouth?
No one can see it.
When you pointed to it,
then. Well, I see it.
I guess if
see,
you...
See, look.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
See it? Just one.
But only if you open your mouth that wide.
I do open my wife, my wife that right.
Whoa.
No, I am... Just that one. That's
okay,
all I've got.
That's nice. Is it pricey? Is it a lot of...
£85.
Oh, that's not too bad. I was expecting...
Well, I mean, let's not talk like
it's
that.
It's not good. Obviously, it's not good, but are you NHS...
Is £85 not a lot of money to you?
No, it is, but for a dentist, they just charge shocking prices.
They do,
don't
yeah, yeah.
So...
I've spent thousands now on my teeth in the last 6 months.
Are you
thousands.
NHS or a private?
I don't think there's any such thing as NHS anymore.
Well,
really,
I have an NHS dentist.
Yeah.
But they still, when they charge me, I said, what? What is this?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's much of a muchness.
Yeah, it kind of is, right.
Between the two things. I'm a member of the dentists. What? So I get, I think it's 10%. I get 10% off.
Oh, wow. Do you get to go to parties and stuff?
I don't know. I've not been invited to any parties yet, but I pay, I think it's 12 quid a month to be a member.
And you get 20% off? 20 quid off?
I'm glad that that's gone up that quick. I think it's 10%, I think it is, off my treatments. But I think all the treatments vary how much you get off them, to be honest.
Mm.
But basically, from one thing I needed done, that pays for itself for a year.
Okay.
So I've done that.
That's good.
But when you get into that sort of money, it's neither in nor there, is it?
No, but
do you know what I mean? It's like buying an house and somebody saying, oh, you get 500 quid off, and you're like, all right.
Well, it still costs a fortune. Who cares? Yeah, dentists, I was just shocked how expensive they are.
Yeah.
For a checkup, it's like 40 quid, isn't it? To go like, oh, your teeth are fine. £40, please.
See, I never get, oh, your teeth are fine.
Oh, okay.
I only get like, oh, we need to replace that filling. Oh, we'll need to do this. Oh, we'll need to do that. Oh, I'm a bit worried about that one. Yeah. Go and see a specialist. That costs £100. And then the specialist goes, no, up with them.
But give me 100 quid anyway.
Yeah. So that's spent £100.
Bit of a racket. It's not really. It's essential.
No, I think isn't there a possibility that they're all in it together?
All the dentists?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Could be. What do you think about hygienists? They're another lot, aren't they?
Well, you just clean your
teeth.
The
other gang, yeah. They're useful.
Do you not think your teeth do feel better after you've been to a hygienist?
Oh, no, it's lovely, yeah.
But do you also think that they make your teeth more vulnerable? I think your teeth build... This is my opinion, right? I think your teeth, if they're just cleaned every day, morning and night, right? They'll still get a bit of gunk on them and stuff. But I think that builds up their resilience.
Mm.
I only think if you just strip all that away, you're like, okay, now they're ultra clean. I think then they are defenceless.
Maybe. Do you find your teeth a little bit more sensitive after you've been to a hygienist?
Yeah,
me too, now I think about it.
I think that's normal though, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. Having a 7-up straight afterwards is tricky.
Well, I think it's because they go right deep into your gum. Sorry to anybody, by the way, who doesn't want to hear dental chat.
Sorry.
You'll notice that for once it wasn't my decision. I guess because they go deep into your gums and stuff.
Yeah.
What's the worst thing you've ever done at a dentist? This is going to go gross, by the way, so you can switch off now.
Nothing that bad. They just dropped the suction thing on me.
They dropped the suction thing on you? Whereabouts there?
Just like, actually, on my chest.
All right, so is it fine?
It wasn't fine. I didn't love it. It made me jump, that's for sure.
Did it?
Yeah. But there was no harm done, is what I'm saying.
Wow. The worst thing I've ever had done at the dentist.
Yeah, was, yeah, what,
right.
Yeah.
I've got two. I've got one that's the most graphic thing that's been done to me, because I know you like that sort of stuff.
I don't, but I'm going to buy now.
If you're driving, stop listening. Oh, and I've got and the second one, I honestly think it was last week.
Okay.
At the dentist.
Which one should we start with?
My worst experience at a dentist, and this is no slight on the dentist in question, they were removing a temporary crown. I had a temporary crown because I'd been away, right? And yes, question from Nat.
What's a crown?
What?
I've never had a crown, so I don't know what it is. It's a fake tooth.
It's not a fake tooth, because your real tooth is underneath it. It's just a protective crown.
Okay.
That goes over the tooth.
Right.
Right? Which is what I've been having done recently. Just taking a long time. So I had a temporary crown, which wasn't as strong as a real one, just so I was covered. And because I was going away, she'd put the crown on really tight, and she'd proper glued it on.
Ooh,
right?
Did you feel it? Was it feel too tight?
No, it was fine.
Okay.
Before this, previously when I've had temporary ones, they've just essentially just
flipped it off.
Yeah, mm. Yeah. When I've gone in and gone, right, there you go, that's off, and then they've worked on it. This time she tried that, didn't work. So she dug a bit deeper, and it felt like she was digging under my tooth. She wasn't, but that's what it felt like she was going under my tooth. And she was proper trying to lever it out, nothing at all. Then she starts twisting it, which... It felt like somebody had taken a tooth out, but it was touching the teeth either side of it. That's what was... That was putting pressure on them. That's what was horrible about it. And she numbed me, but didn't let the numbing happen quick enough and started again. And it was... Honestly, I thought about it, I reckon, at maybe 10-minute intervals for the next 48 hours.
Jesus, it hurt.
I got PTSD now.
It sounds like... Have you seen Marathon Man?
Yeah.
It sounds a bit like a scene
like
in that.
It really was.
Bloody hell.
But the worst thing I've ever had now... was when I was a child, maybe 11 or 12. Might have been a bit younger than that. I had braces, on my teeth. And before they put the brace on, they had to remove one tooth at the side to push, so the other teeth could spread out, right? That was the idea. This is when they did gas, so they put me to sleep for this.
That was a good time.
Fast asleep, right? See, here's how I remember it. Breathing in. Come back from 10, 9, 8, you know, whatever you get to. And then I remember them waking up. Like, it felt immediate.
Oh.
Just immediate.
Okay.
And I woke up with the dentist and the dentist assistant just panicking around me. And they said, it's okay, don't panic. And my mouth was full of blood. And I was like, I was really drowsy as well, obviously. And I was like, I don't know what happened. And she said, we've snapped your tooth.
What's that even? What do you mean? How do you snap your tooth?
As they were taking it out, the root snapped off inside my gum. So they gave me 5 injections, one at the top of my mouth, one either side, one at the bottom either side. And then just basically sliced me open to get this root out.
Whilst you're awake?
Yeah.
I'd put you straight under again.
No, they couldn't. They can't do that.
Why?
Because it was an emergency.
Yeah, but like, you don't need to know about this. 3, 2, 1, be gone.
They needed me awake.
Okay.
For whatever reason, but they did. Yeah, and they just sliced all my gum open and pulled this root out and then stitched it all up. It was unbelievable. And bizarrely, it was the least... I didn't have time to be worried about it. Mm. So it's probably the best way that could happen. Where I was like, it just was happening too fast.
Was your mum not in the room?
Yeah, my mum was there.
She was keeping calm.
Well, I doubt she was, but...
Right, yeah.
But I don't remember much about it because I just came out under gas. I was all over the place.
What about when you woke up like for the second time?
They didn't put me to sleep.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I just stayed awake from then onwards to this
day. There must have been some terror or some horror from you thinking, like, what the hell is going on here?
Where's but I was also relieved because it was like, I'm glad that's just done and out of the way. And that I didn't go away for a week and then go, you'll have to come back next week so we can cut your gum open to get that root out. It just happened straight away.
I think that might have been enough for me to reject all
last
dentists.
Last week was worse.
Yeah.
I don't think you should... No, just sometimes you need... That's like
you
saying...
You need a break.
That's like saying if you have chemotherapy, you should reject all the doctors because it makes you feel a bit sick. It's like...
Well...
The treatment is just sometimes unpleasant, but it's made you better, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose it is if you need to brush your teeth more, isn't it? And then you won't need it.
I brush my teeth proper.
Oh.
I'm just an old man now. This comes to us all.
No. I don't think
it does, it comes
reason.
To us all. It really does.
Do you floss? Because they always tell you off if you don't floss.
I use teepees.
Oh, I like them, the ones that go in between.
Yeah. Them
teeth.
Ones, yeah. Yeah, I use them.
They're nice. I don't. Yeah, floss gets stuck.
Doesn't it?
I don't like it.
Well, that was a nice chat.
Quite boring, wasn't it?
No, I thought it was good.
It was good.
I asked you to pick up
something.
Dentists.
Yes, we've just been talking about dentists. That was in my head.
What else do you want to talk about? No time! This my shit. All the girls stomp your feet like this. Few times I've been around that track, so it's not just gonna happen like that. Cause it ain't no holler back girl. I ain't no holler back girl. A few times I've been around that track, so it's not just gonna happen like that. Cause it ain't no holler back girl. I ain't no holler back girl. Never decide if I fancy Gwen Stefani or not.
I think I do. Why would you think you wouldn't?
I don't know.
Do you fancy her? Because the way when No Doubt, remember when Don't Speak first? It's a very different Gwen Stefani is the Gwen Stefani.
She was doing a very cutesy thing.
She's
wasn't
very
she?
Cute with her little crop tops and and she's sort of quite into a scar look about her.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I like that sort of Lolita look, to be honest.
Do you think it's Lolita?
Yeah, a little bit.
She definitely was old enough.
A little pouty.
Yeah.
What's her face? That who punched that woman out of Girls Aloud. What's her name?
Cheryl.
Yeah, she was always played that a little bit, didn't she? That cutesy thing.
Yeah, I don't think she.
In the same way, I don't know if she does or not. I don't know what happened to her. Did she go to jail?
She did not. No.
I think she should have done.
Well, yeah.
Personally. Anyway, look, we've done health.
Yeah, health check, tip.
We've done the health check.
Well, we haven't done.
Well, should we? I mean, should I? I don't know whether I should text Gwen Stefani.
To say what? You fancy her?
Well, I don't know what you're allowed to do anymore. I don't know what the rules are. Can you say to someone that you fancy them anymore? Is that even allowed?
I would say saying you fancy someone is okay.
You're not allowed to try and kiss someone anymore. That's
not
allowed.
No, you can't do that. So that whole time on the park bench across the road, we couldn't...
I wasn't trying to kiss you. I think we both moved in at the same time.
It was a strange day, wasn't it?
It was a strange day, yeah.
But as you said...
We've never said that I fingered you either, have we not?
We definitely haven't said that, because that didn't happen, no.
Come on.
No.
Come on, that finger's never been the same. It's always been said, I've got a slight bend
to it. Why do you have to make it into a carry-on Ian?
What do you mean?
Just by lowering the tone. Even they don't talk about fingering in those
films. I just think your fan is a funny shape from that experience. God. That's all I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with it.
We had a fab on a bench and it was fine.
We had a what?
Fab on a bench.
What's a fab?
The lolly.
What?
Can we? No, it was a calippo.
Oh, a fab lolly. I thought you were saying some sex thing. We did a fab and then we did a calippo.
We had a fab and calippo on the bench.
We did, yeah. Then we got off with each other and I fingered her.
Well, text Gwen Stefani.
No, because I don't know what I'm allowed to... So how do I approach this now?
Hi, Gwen. Long time no speak.
Yeah. Brackets ever.
Yeah.
You don't know me, but that's a good start.
You don't
isn't it?
Know me, but yeah. just talking about
Would
you.
Would you like to go out with me? Go to the cinema
She's
with me.
She's got a boyfriend.
Has she?
Blake Shelton.
Who's that?
The country singer, American country singer. Because she was married.
Oh, was she?
To Gavin Rossdale from Bush.
Right.
And now they broke up.
You seem to know an awful lot about
and
this.
And now she's going out with Blake Shelton.
Was there, have I missed the window?
There was a middle opening. and she's on The Voice or whatever with him, with Blake Shelton.
The Voice?
You know that TV show?
In the
show.
UK?
No, the American one.
Oh, right, okay. That's annoying.
So I probably wouldn't. I mean, you don't have to text and say I fancy you. You could just say like, hey.
Yeah, no, I don't think I would do it. I don't think that would be the way to do it.
That could be a follow-up text. I wouldn't go in for the initial text with Aegwyn.
After we'd been in the cinema, then I could say, hey, do you know what? Maybe I wouldn't. Maybe she'd talk all through the film, or maybe she'd, like, have popcorn too loud or something like that.
It would annoy you, right? So you wouldn't fancy her.
She seems... I think she looks like the sort that would really slurp a drink.
Do you think she does?
Yeah.
With
probably.
A straw?
Yeah.
Well, they don't do straws
as an
anymore,
affectation.
Do they
not?
Oh, aren't they? They're banned, aren't they, straws?
Straws are banned?
Yeah.
Are they?
Because of the whales.
What?
Because of the whales.
Why, because they can't reach them?
No, because it gets in their windpipe. it's polluting the oceans.
Right.
It's bad, isn't it? Don't have a straw. I do miss the straw sometimes, though. I'm not going to lie. Milkshake without a straw is tricky. So, just going to say.
Yeah.
Need better straws.
Yeah, well, we wouldn't want a whale to get it in their windpipe. To get something that allows air to go through it in a windpipe.
I wouldn't want to. I would be happy about that. But I think what we need to do is bring back the film review section.
Right, okay, what's that?
Because I watched some horror...
Can we bring it back?
I'm sure we used to do one.
Did we?
Yeah, with...
This happens to me quite a lot, where people say, do you remember we used to do that? Can I remember somebody saying, oh, Barry used to review horror films?
Yeah,
like, did
we used to have Barry, and then there used to be Andy Butler.
I remember Andy Butler.
Yeah, and we used to watch...
May he rest in peace.
He's not... he's still about, isn't he?
How do you know?
Because I follow him on Twitter. I've seen him tweeting.
He doesn't work at that
No, I don't think he... Oh, does he not? I don't know. Okay. Barry got us to watch that horrible...
I think he lives in Oxford.
Oh, fancy.
Last I heard. He got married and had a baby.
Oh, okay. Hi, Andy. Afternoon.
Hi, Andy.
Barry got us to watch that awful French film where Betty Blue cuts out some pregnant woman
for
kids.
They stab a baby.
Shocking, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Then that Eden Lake one, we watched that. So there was the little spate of horror films.
Yep.
But I brought it back this weekend by watching a few.
Of horror films?
Don't know why, I just fancied...
What did you watch? I watched a horror film last night.
Yeah?
Yeah, I watched... Would it be a horror film? Unfriended Dark Web.
Oh, I don't even know what that is. Sounds good.
Really liked it.
What's that about?
It was a sequel to... Well, not a sequel, it was the next film in the... Did you never see Unfriended?
I don't even know what that is, no.
It's a film and it's all... The whole film takes place on a desktop of a computer. All of it.
Oh, okay.
And they're on Skype calls and stuff, and the whole film takes place on the desktop of a computer.
Oh,
or
interesting.
The whole thing.
Is that rough good?
I thought the first one, I think I'm in a minority here, I looked online a bit today. The first one I thought was a great idea, and I didn't like it, ultimately, okay. Because it was all ghost shit.
Okay.
Right? There's a bit... Spoiler for the first one. It's all ghost shit.
It's ghost shit.
Like, I can't be dealing with that. Don't set up a premise and then go, and it was a ghost. Like, fuck that.
Yeah.
But the second one doesn't do that. The second one is far more real-life realistic, albeit an extreme case of that.
On a desktop, again.
All on a desktop. And I was watching it. I looked at some of the reviews today. And some of them were, like, a bit sneery. And some of them were like, oh, it's not as good as the first one, blah, 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 blah. And some just credited it. But I actually, when you look at that film, when I watched it last night, I thought, that is a major piece of work to be able to do that. Apparently in one shot, it wasn't one shot, but it looks like it is, and it's like Birdman. Do you remember the film, Michael Keaton film?
Yeah, well, it wasn't for me, but
it was one shot.
It was a nicely shot. Yeah,
it was played as one shot.
Yeah.
So it's just this desktop, and it tells a story through the desktop, and it was a decent story and stuff. And
okay.
It was climactic, and it was scary, and it was unsettling, very unsettling.
Oh, I might have to add that to my watch list.
Yeah.
Do you like?
I don't remember it being gory, really.
Do you like films that are... There's a few I can think of.
We're coming back to your films, by the way.
No,
I wasn't derailing
I was thinking
you
of the films in the one seat. Like, there was Colin Farrell in a phone box. Remember that?
Yeah. Which that wasn't one shot, though.
No, but it was spent in, like, one place. He's in a phone box.
What was it called?
Phone box.
Yeah.
And do you remember that one where Ryan Reynolds in a coffin?
It was Kiefer Sutherland, wasn't it, on the other end of the phone?
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
There's the one with Ryan Reynolds in a coffin for 2 hours.
Not seen that one.
That's good.
I loved Phone Box.
Yeah,
it was great.
Did you? Yeah,
yeah. Really liked
the
it.
The Ryan Reynolds one's good. There's the one with Tom Hardy in a car.
Now, when you say it's just in a coffin, what are the flashbacks? Are the cutaways?
Yeah, there's phone calls and stuff with various people. He has to work out what he's doing down there.
Oh, I probably like that.
It's good. It's really good. Yeah. He's very good. I think that's when I first was like, oh, Ryan Reynolds is a good actor.
Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool, right?
Deadpool, yeah.
I really like him.
Yeah, I do too.
He's got a nice manner about him, hasn't he?
You're more of a Reynolds than a Gosling fan.
I think they've both got their plus points.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're both talented performers.
They are, yeah.
Yeah. I prefer Ryan Reynolds' apparent mischievous
nature.
Yeah,
I like that too. Yeah. I'm sure there's one where someone was on a ledge for a minute in a film.
On a ledge for a minute.
Or Man on a Ledge or something, I think it was called.
Man on a Ledge for a minute.
Yeah. Yes, it felt, I'm not sure about that one. But I do think that's an interesting concept when they have films set in one location for the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, that's different to one shot. But I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I agree. Good. And I'm a fan of that as well.
Ooh.
I could probably kind of wait for Godot.
Experimental.
It's my best one.
Yeah, you mentioned that you've been in that a few times.
I've been in it, but I also like it.
Mm-hmm.
I would watch it. I'd be happier watching someone else in it than being in it myself.
Yeah, okay. Or watching yourself in it, that'd be well spooky.
It would be. Did I tell you that I did it in French and English?
Yeah. Oh, I think you have mentioned that, but that is very impressive.
Should I mention it again?
Yeah, tell you about it. So, you know you did Waiting for Godot?
Yeah.
You just did it in English, right?
Nope.
No? What did you... other languages did you?
I played Vladimir in English.
Oh.
And I played Estragon in French. They're the
That's
two characters.
Did you choose to play
Alternate
that way?
Nights, which was really hard.
Whoa.
Alternate Nights, playing the other character on Alternate Nights.
Yeah. Interesting. Did you learn French for just specifically on
just
that script?
Just learn the words.
So could you recite those words back to me now?
Almost certainly not. But I bet you if it started going...
Yeah, you'd be like, oh, je m'appelle.
Sometimes I listen to Waiting for Godot, and I've got several audio versions of it, and I listen to them on long drives home, which feels dangerous.
Yeah.
Like it would send me to sleep. But I suddenly find myself then being able to recite it quite easily.
Okay.
You get into the rhythm of it and it's like, okay, I remember all this.
Yeah.
But I don't have a French version of it.
Okay. Well, that's nice.
Yep. So what film did you watch?
I watched a couple. My first was the remake of Dario Argento's Suspiria.
Now, I'm going to stop you there.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I'm going to stop you is I recently bought Dario Argento's Suspiria.
Okay. So you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
I'm not going to... Well, I'm going to say...
Can you do it without spoilers?
Yeah, sure. I'm going to say, first of all, I think it's really good. It's
with Jessica Harper in the original.
Yeah, and she's in it for one scene.
Is she?
In this one.
She's aged well.
That's
an awful thing to say, but she really has,
she? She looks great.
She's still stunning,
Tilda Swinton's in it, who is really good.
Yeah.
Chloe Grace Moretz, who I'm sometimes like, sometimes don't.
Yeah.
But I have to concede in this film, she's excellent.
She's off Kick-Ass, that woman.
Yeah, Kick-Ass. Yeah. She did the remake of Carrie and other stuff, which I didn't really enjoy, really feel was necessary.
Yep.
But she's also got a big part in Suspiria.
You're listening to movie chat.
But she's really good. And Dakota Johnson.
Yeah.
From 50 Shades of Grey.
Right.
And actually, the director, whose name escapes me right now, did a bigger splash that she was in with Ralph Fiennes, Tilda Swinton. Good director. But this is a good... It's a lot longer than the original film.
IMDb Live.
I've not even got it open. Where is IMDb? Am IMDb. It's a lot longer than the original.
Yeah.
This version of it.
How long's the original?
It's about 90 minutes. This one's 2.5 hours.
Is it hard work, the original?
No, I didn't find it. I really enjoyed it.
I've bought it. Does this mean anything to you? I've bought it in the original colour.
Great.
Does that mean something?
Not really, no.
Apparently it was shot...
It's
a
very
director's
bright.
Cut. Yeah,
it's
but
a very
apparently
bright
it was. I wish I could remember what the colour was called. It's some sort of.
Red.
No, it's like called monocolour or something like that. Tricolour or something like that. So I bought a version that was the original director's intention for the colour.
Okay. Well, in the original one, it's very bright, and in this version, it's very the opposite. It's the same sort of plot. They've tried to make it their own, if you know what I mean.
Right.
By setting it in a different time period.
Is it weird?
Yes.
Does it have a storyline?
It does have a storyline that's linear that you can comprehend what's going on.
Okay, fine.
And there's one particular scene, because I haven't seen the original for years, but in this version where I when I read about, people in Cannes were shown it and they nearly walked out, and you know, you think, oh, come on. But there is a particular scene in this version that's quite horrific to watch.
Right, okay.
But it's on, you haven't got Amazon Prime now, have you?
No.
Okay, well, so that's why I noticed
it
dropped on there.
Did it? Okay. Is it, this scene you're talking about, is it a rape scene?
No.
Okay.
No, very much not.
I really struggle watching rape scenes.
Well, of course, that's a good thing.
But I have a visceral reaction to it.
Okay.
It really, really bothers me. To the point where I can't really accept it as, even as part of a story, it's like, I just can't watch it.
Do you know that film you would really not be able to watch? That film Irreversible with Monica Bellucci and Vincent Cassel.
Okay.
Where it plays it backwards, if you see what I mean. So
right,
it starts
okay.
and it goes backwards. And there's a 10-minute long rape scene with Monica Bellucci.
Right.
It's incredibly hard to watch.
I wouldn't like to see that.
No. And so I have not revisited that film. And they were married during the making of that film. Must have been. He's not the one that's raping her. But
right.
In the film. Anyway, the second film...
That sort of implied that he was in real life.
No, he wasn't, but I'm saying he must have been hard to work on that film.
Yeah.
That's a hard... You know the director, Gaspar... Is it Gaspar... How do you say N-O...
The Friendly Ghost.
No, Gaspar N-O-E, I think his surname is. No-E.
No idea.
Who did Enter the I want to say Enter the Void. Enter the
Never enter a conversation if you don't know any of the facts.
Well, the thing is, I have seen all of the films, and I just can't remember the bloody name of the film.
If you don't know any of the facts.
Enter the Void's that one where it's in the guy... Oh, never mind. Anyway, I watched Halloween as well. The new Halloween, written by Danny McBride.
Yeah, what were your thoughts?
Good, except...
Spoilers, got spoilers in this or not? Got to say spoilers if you...
Spoilers, a lot of people die.
You're listening to Movie Hour. Spoilers?
Spoilers are, a lot of people die in every Halloween film.
Did they?
Yeah.
Right.
But my main issue, I had it, and I really like Danny McBride.
Yeah.
He is not in it, but he wrote it.
Oh, okay, right, okay.
Is that I couldn't, I just wasn't really, apart from Jamie Lee Curtis, I sort of wasn't rooting for any of the characters to live.
She's kick-ass though, isn't she?
She is great, but when Michael Myers came back and started killing people, I was thinking, oh, get him next.
Do you find, and I don't want to be like that sort of person, because I know the sort of person, and I'm not being this, like I'm not being what I'm on about. You know them pictures of Jamie Lee Curtis where she's having a row with a friend? She's in a cafe and she's having a row with a friend, and they're really quite... Her face is quite contorted. She's very angry and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're kind of championed online as a meme, as sort of like, oh, she's, you know, such a sassy lady and all that. And I do genuinely think if that had been the other way around, if it was a guy doing that, there'd have been an absolute uproar. And I do think we're at a point now where there is an actual issue with that, where there is an issue with... I totally understand the argument and agree with the argument that men haven't been subjugated in the same way. I get all that, so that's all taken as read. I get all that. But I don't think you get credit in the bank. I think that's a very dangerous way of looking at stuff, that you've got credit in the bank, so you can behave like a twat and it'll be championed.
Well,
I don't mean she was, I'm saying, but if it was a bloke doing that, like fucking What's-His-Face on Question Time the other week.
Oh, John Rhys-Davies.
Yeah, right.
Well, it was what he said, wasn't it?
He looked an absolute cock.
He did.
And I agree with that.
And maybe you don't start saying, they're saying, wait, banging the desk, we're going, yeah, what a woman? Yeah. Definitely don't say
that. We've all been there.
Well, you've done it to me so many times.
We've all
now.
Been there. No, but we genuinely have, haven't we? We've all been there at that point of being frustrated and stuff.
Yes.
But then I was reading online, people going, was anybody else genuinely frightened for so? It's like, don't be so fucking stupid. There was no danger. Nobody was in any danger there.
I don't think she look frightened either, I will point out.
He looked like a cock.
He did, yeah.
What he was saying, in my opinion, was fucking idiotic as well.
Yeah.
However, the response was utterly disproportionate to what he did. Utterly disproportionate. If you turn around and punch her in the face, I agree.
I think she did the right thing. She knew he looked like a cock, so rather than get engaged, she just sat there thinking, like, you speak and hang yourself then.
Yeah, but you'd look like
an idiot.
But this idea that there's only blokes do that is mental.
Oh, no, well.
That is mental. And there is a certain sort of bloke that does that, I agree. But there's also a certain sort of lady who does that.
Well, yeah, of course. Definitely...
Like, go fucking Leeds Town Centre on a Friday night and see if you think everyone's behaving impeccably.
I don't think
of one
anyone
gender, but not of another one. It's fucking idiotic.
There are not women that behave equally
but
as bad
seems
as
to
men.
Be taken to
but
be...
if you behave like a dick of either gender, you're a dick, right?
Yeah, you're the cop or not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But first of all, I haven't seen these.
Could you not use the word dick, please? Because
why?
Because I just feel that cheapens my genitalia.
I haven't seen these Jamie Lee Curtis pictures, by the way. So,
I mean, no, I think they're quite well known.
Look, anyway, let's not talk about your genitalia again.
I'm happy for it. Like, I don't mind that being a championed thing.
Yeah.
Like, I have no problem with that. I have a problem with it being condemned the other way. That's why.
Sure. So she's angry in the photo.
Everybody on this planet gets angry at some point and has their face contorted and says things that they regret saying. Every single last fucking person on the planet.
Sure, yeah.
At some point in their lifetime, they do.
Yeah.
So there, but for the grace of God, for every one of you fuckers.
That
right?
You've not been papped.
Yeah, totally that. Mm. It's totally that. So I think there's a real pious and superior and... occasionally entitled attitude running through what seems to be social media for me at the moment, just running through that of people holier than thou, and it's like, you're all fucking flawed, you've all got skeletons in your closet, all of you are, and if you're not, you're a boring fucker. That's my
opinion. True. Except that, people would understand when they suddenly get pictured without their consent walking down the street or something from a paparazzi, or something like, oh god, I don't want to be, but then it's put all over social media as well.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm not excusing how he behaved on Question Time.
He was,
but he's not the first person to behave like that.
To cheapen your genitalia, a dick.
Stop using that word.
Sorry. A cock?
It's the same thing, Nat.
Knob.
Right. He's not the first person to react like that. We're not talking about his penis, Nat.
All right. He was a bit of a... I don't know what I can call it. A buffoon, that's it. He's a buffoon.
he's not the first person on Question Time to behave that way.
No.
On both sides, good and bad. However, whatever your view is of which is good and which is bad,
sure,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
He isn't. And I agree, saying, oh, woman and all that. But it's like, oh, really? Fuck. Who cares? She clearly didn't.
No, I think she did care. I just think that she's smart.
But not to the point... Yeah, no. But not to the point of going... You know, of a sweeping statement, big speech about it. It was like, he's just an idiot.
Anyway, you're right. Anyway, man, play a song because our guest is coming. No, because I'm just trying to get you into the get a guest in on time.
I'm trying to
play
get,
a song,
I
man.
I want to be more late. I want to get on. I want to get an LBC.
Okay.
Just let me get an LBC. Do I need to like immigrants or not?
Do you need to like immigrants?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can, it's fine. You can.
I can do.
Yeah, of course.
Has O'Brien not got that bit sewn up there?
So there's a few lefties on there.
I think I want to go in as a bit of a shock jock.
Oh.
I don't believe in any of it.
Well, it's less shocking now if you're left wing, isn't it, really?
Yeah,
a lot
yeah,
of radio. So you're going as a left winger.
Should I do that?
I think everyone who lives in this country should be an immigrant, and all of the people who aren't should leave. That's your new opinion.
That's your hot take, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I want to do. I want to go on the end of Julia Hartley Brewer's show to say my show's coming up.
Okay.
Yeah. Does Jacob still. Does he work there, Jacob?
Well, he works at LBC.
Does he?
Mm-hmm.
So he could get me in there, couldn't he?
Yeah, sure.
I know he fell out with me because I call him racist. Trainspotting going on there.
Yeah,
that's off Trainspotting.
I mean, that's not off. That's off Parallel Lines.
It is off Trainspotting.
Blondie album, but it's on the film Trainspotting.
It's not
from Trainspotting.
That's the song off Trainspotting that we just listened
Deborah
to.
Harry would be furious.
It's called Atomic.
Mm-hmm.
We're joined now, Nat.
Sorry.
We're joined now by the man is talking. Nat, I'm going for that sexist thing. I'm trying to do that.
Okay, well, don't
get
do that.
That going.
Yeah, listen, man,
now.
Shut up.
Outnumbered now because all the dudes are in the studio, mate. Fighting back. I'm joined now by Maxim Baldry. Hello, Maxim.
Hi.
Can I call you Max?
Yeah, you can. You can call
Maxim,
whatever you want.
It's too long.
Well, don't
me.
Say that. You can call you whatever you want.
What?
Max, stick with Max for now.
What about what? Bill?
Bill?
Bill? Do you like to be called Bill?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My best friend's called Bill.
And do you envy him? Do you wish you were him?
Yeah, he's sat in an office right now.
Yeah, but you're doing really well, so why do you want to be Bill so much? That's all you've talked
Am
about since you've
well?
Been in.
Am I doing well? I'm just talking about Bill the whole time.
You are doing well, because I just read your CV. Now, I know that everyone like bigs himself up on the CV, and you've done a bit of bigging up here because you've put Mr. Bean's Holiday in bold. That's what you've done there. Just showing off about it.
You would.
I don't know Mr. Bean's Holiday. Was that
my
a good
first
one?
Role.
Was it really?
Yeah.
How old were you?
I was 11.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And was it a big role?
It was, yeah. I went on like a trip around France with Mr. Bean.
No, that's not really who he is.
Oh, yeah, it's not.
Did they just say to you
when I was 11?
Do you not break character?
I remember I was in the audition room and I walked in and I met Rowan Atkinson for the first time, and I just looked at him and I was like, oh my god, it's Mr. Bean. And then he has the most black sense of humor. He's just so serious, and I just couldn't believe it when I was a kid.
Right.
I was like, what? This is mental.
Because did you only know him from Mr. Bean at 11, I guess?
Only, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, this is the guy I've watched on TV growing up when I was 11.
And he inhabits that role.
He totally
inhabits that role. So it would be plausible to think he's like that in real life.
Yeah. But he's not.
I know that.
He doesn't know.
He's played like some other fairly well known roles, like in Blackadder. I don't think
he's
like him.
We've got an exclusive now that Rowan Atkinson
isn't
actually like that in real life.
Johnny English, another big one.
Oh, yeah.
Were you in that?
Yeah.
No.
All right.
No, didn't get the call up.
Did you not?
No.
I saw the first Bean film, and I thought it was genuinely brilliant.
Really?
Yeah, it really surprised me, the first Bean film.
But you didn't see the follow-up?
No.
It's a shame, because you would have
more
seen...
More critically acclaimed.
No. Was it?
Bigger box office. Don't
Did
worry
Mel Smith
it.
Direct it, though? Mel Smith directed the first
no,
one.
No, he didn't. He didn't direct the second
May
one. Maybe
rest
that,
in
yeah.
peace.
Oh.
Yeah, he's way down. That's all right, though.
It was a while ago.
The most things last year.
Who? Mel Smith?
Or the year before, yeah.
Was it?
The Mel Smith died, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a while ago.
Well,
fact check that.
It depends what you consider a while, doesn't it?
3 years. I don't remember.
Do you want to Google it now?
Yeah, just have a look. Mel Smith.
Sorry, I know this is your interview, but we need to find out when Mel Smith died.
It is important.
Do you aware of who Mel Smith is?
He directed the first Mr. Bean film.
Oh, 2013?
Gosh, 2013.
It was a while ago, yeah.
It was a while ago,
that's
you're right.
Thought.
That's a shame it was that long ago. Mm. But come on, there's still some of us are still here. So we're
the highlight of my career is still Mr. Bean.
Is it really?
Okay. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Do you get recognised from it?
Cause if you're, weirdly, if you're an I get recognised in the weirdest of times.
Right.
Always when you least expect it. Always when I'm like wearing the weirdest thing.
Right.
You know? I was working in a pub once, and this is when I was in between jobs.
Okay.
As an actor.
Yeah.
You have moments, you have times.
You should treasure that time as well.
Yeah. And so I was working behind this bar, and it was like more of a bar, and everyone had to wear this stripy top, and I looked like a sailor, and it was very weird. Anyway, I honestly never get recognized. And then this guy comes up to me and goes, "Oh my God, you're the guy from Mr. Bean's Holiday, the kid." And I'm like, for fuck's sake,
that is
come
a
on.
Yeah, and I'm working behind a bar.
I'm working behind a bar. And then he went to me, "So you're not doing the acting thing then?" And I was like, "Yeah, no, I am."
You could have been like, "Fancy a
Peroni?
I'm researching for a role.
I'm doing a film right now.
Yeah, I'm just digging
I'm in
character.
I'm filming this right
yeah,
now.
That's what I should do.
That's what I should say.
That's what I would say.
Oh, I should have said that.
You should totally do that. So if you're ever working a job between jobs, you should totally just, everyone comes up and go, no, move. We're filming it now.
Yeah.
Move. You're in shot. And people just fuck off.
Cut, please.
And then we'll just look out for you. They'll just keep Googling you. See when that film's coming out that they wanted to pass it in.
God, I've done some weird jobs. Very
you
weird
look
job.
About, like, 12. How old are you?
Now?
Yeah.
I'd say, with the stubble, you look about
18.
You
19.
Look really proper young.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How old are you?
45.
No. Come on, Bill. That's not true.
How old are you?
Wrong. 23.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So you're still like, how can you have done loads of things?
Because there's a child in Mr. Bean's
child
holiday.
Actor. Yeah.
I just
Has it affected you in a bad way being a child actor?
Yeah.
Thing? Child faith.
Nah, I'm seriously troubled by by the successes of my. My childish successes.
If you're not, then you'll have to be at some point in your career, because that's when you'll have a resurgence in your career. When your career starts going, oh, it's plateauing a little bit, then that's when you want to bring in, oh yeah, Rowan Atkinson was a cock to me. Like, do you know what I mean? You start saying, oh yeah, he really was really abusive.
Because he was nothing like Mr. Bean. I was livid.
Yeah, he was nothing like that. Mr. Bean, because he swore in my face regularly. Same things.
I don't think he did, so just clout what he
made. Just for the record, this never happened.
No, this hasn't happened yet. But he'll be long gone, Atkinson, at that point. When it gets to the stage of Max's career.
Talking like 20 years' time.
Well, no, wait. Let's not write Rowan Atkinson off in the next 20
good
years.
Point. I don't know how old
he is. Definitely won't live longer than the next 20 years. Right, but whenever it is, Maxim will have a long and varied career.
Yeah, sure.
And then when he's in his like 50s or whatever, and it's sort of ploughed out a little bit, and you need to bring a story back and go, do you remember Rowan Atkinson?
Who
died a few years ago? Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, it was terrible. Yeah, no, he wasn't how he seemed at all. Which will be the truth. That is the truth.
He wasn't like Mr. Bean.
He wasn't as he seemed. It's true.
Very serious.
Well, you need some stories for your book when you have it out. You've got to have some showbiz anecdotes, don't you, for when you have a book out, as I know.
Can you get in trouble legally?
When do you release a book? At what point in that career do you release the book?
I don't know. Well, nowadays, how things work, you release a book when you're, like, 18, don't you?
My
long and varied
you
life.
You need revelations. So I was just reading, because Moby's got one coming out soon, and the thing that came out last night was he wiped his penis over Donald Trump at a party. That's Moby's revelation.
He wiped his penis.
Yeah, as a joke.
I would say, right.
Well, it's not funny, and I would argue he could still get in trouble for saying it, but...
Why?
Because if a guy did that to someone, that can be considered sexual assault, right?
Right.
So he's in his book has
said...
I would
love to see Donald Trump get up in court accuse someone else of sexual assault.
Exactly, which is why it won't. But he said he was at a party. This was before Trump was President Trump, and he was all being a millionaire Trump or whatever he did. Had buildings, didn't he?
She's very well informed.
You know a lot about Trump.
I do. I actually do know a lot. I wrote his biography.
About Trump supporter.
But he was at a party, and his friends obviously... He was always a bit of a hateful figure. His friends went, "I dare you to just go and wipe your penis on Trump," and he just kind of walked past him and did it.
Did he take his penis out?
Yeah, he did. It was out apparently.
So you wipe a penis on someone by taking it out and just...
Well, I don't know how else would you wipe? I don't have one, so I don't know how I would do it.
I'm with you on this, Maxim. I don't understand. You'll have to talk us through this. What this actually entails. Yeah.
Surely it would just be touching someone, right, with it?
I've never wiped my penis on anyone.
Neither have I.
Like, I've just not. Have you ever wiped your penis on a person?
No.
No, not
good.
At all.
And that's a good thing. That
I don't think it's common.
Happen.
So
I don't think so. I imagine it's just if it just touches the person, that's considered to be a wipe. Right?
A wipe.
I reckon.
A wipe is more of a...
Yeah.
It's not like he's doing a window. He's cleaning a window.
Smeared trunk.
No, there it's a mere touch, I would say, onto a fabric.
So that is in the news right now?
Yeah, that's where I read it.
Maybe put his penis on Donald Trump.
He's got a book coming out, and he's got to have these showbiz anecdotes. Smack them.
Showbiz anecdotes.
How much of a book can you get out of that?
Well, the whole book. There's no other stuff.
And then is the rest of it just filler?
No. There's actually quite a few revelations coming out there. That's just one of the many things he's done.
This is an awful
interview.
Dating
Natalie Portman, didn't he?
I don't know. But I don't know. But maybe we could... Don't play along with her. Maybe we could get Moby on to talk to him about it.
Oh, yeah.
And when Maxim's here, maybe we could talk to Maxim about what he's doing. Ooh, rather than saying, have you heard that Moby wiped his cock on Donald Trump?
Because we're talking about it in your book and your showbiz. And keep up, Ian. Keep up with what we're saying.
That is true.
My book is coming out soon, so...
Yes.
What would you call your autobiography? First thing you think of?
Very Life of Maxim Baldry.
The Very Life?
No. Maxim Baldry. Child actor.
Nice.
So I'm still a child.
And then, but when your book comes out, you'll hopefully have lost your looks.
Yeah.
At that point, so you can be like proper grizzled on the front of it. Child actor. That'd be a great way. Macaulay Culkin should do that.
He's
but
not
it's Maxim's idea.
Yeah, that's true.
No, he should, because Macaulay Culkin looks a bit like knocked about sometimes, doesn't he?
I think he looks good.
No,
but I think he's gone through the ring though.
Yes,
have you seen him with the pizza boxes?
Oh,
and singing Velvet Underground.
I liked that. I liked that he did that.
Yeah.
But it's because your only knowledge of Macaulay Culkin is how he looks as a kid.
Such a young boy, yeah.
So it'd be good now to present the adult, but with a title of child actor. But that's Maxim's idea. Yeah.
Okay. Well done. That's going to be quids in when he does
but
you're going to be earning.
Remember from Mr. Bean.
Yeah.
And then maybe put a picture of you and Mr. Bean. Can you find me a picture of Maxim and Mr. Bean, please?
Oh, yeah, God. Sure.
All right. Oh, God.
Mr. Beans.
I'm curious as to what you look like. Because I think you're very boyish looking now, and that's.
Boyish looking then.
As a boy.
Yeah, as a child.
Do you not think sometimes with people with children?
Oh my God, that's not you. Is that?
Is that you? Is that
wow.
you?
Wow, here he is.
This isn't great radio, but
that is Maxim.
Look at that,
Max Baldry.
Yeah.
Here's what I would say then. Here's what I would say. Now you look a bit.
Here we go.
What's the?
Oh dear.
What would be the way of saying this?
Oh dear.
There's a bit of Gollum about you.
You what? That's just
right?
a little bit. On the screen. It's gone.
No, there is. But you know what I mean? You've got the ears going on.
The ears are big.
Angular. What? You can see you're a good-looking lad, but I don't think you're conventionally child actor good-looking there. However, I would say that now you are conventionally, and I don't mean that as an insult, adult good-looking or young man good-looking.
Thank you, Shin.
Right? So I think sometimes... You've been lucky. All right, is that you?
It's teenage Maxim.
Is that you?
No, that's me. That's me in the Mr. Bean days.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You look totally different.
Right, do you know what I mean? So what I would say.
Me as well.
Chameleon.
I played a woman in the dressed up as a girl.
Right, I'm going to fall short of saying you're an ugly duckling, right? Because I don't think you were at all, right? However, if you're going to have it one way round, have it as be a bit weird looking as a kid. And then blossom into the. Do you know what I mean? I think.
Yeah.
Whereas you see some other people, I think Macaulay Culkin is a case in point.
Very cute.
Kind of cute as a kid,
child,
and then when they're adults, it's like, oh, that doesn't work. Or Haley Joel Osment, you know, it just.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, oh, the Six adult sense. Looks weird because of the
I'll
kid.
I'll take it as a compliment. I think it was a backhanded compliment.
It
was a backhanded compliment. I'll take it.
There he is.
I'll take it. Thank you.
I'm trying to come in, but
the Gollum became.
Yes.
Something else.
Yeah. Like the sort of like the pop star good looks thing.
Thanks.
Okay, is that you again?
But you look weird as
play
a kid.
Play a lot of roles in this film then, do you? Mr. Beans, Holiday, what's going on? Dual roles.
There's no.
I mean, I feel let's get back on to it. We're just gorgeous Googling pictures
Stop
of you
Googling
and Mr.
me.
Bean.
Come
That's
on.
Just weird.
I feel like if I ever watched that film, I'll find it really upsetting.
No, you should watch it. It's a really good film. I'm plugging a film from 2007.
Yeah. Look.
12 years
get
ago.
Get your proper credibility back. Don't be going on interviews and saying, please watch Mr. Bean's Holiday. I was in that.
Right, can we move
on?
Got,
yes, we're trying to do that.
Back, haven't you, from years and years?
Yeah, hi.
Right, so about years and years.
Hello.
I've not seen it. Tell me about it.
It's a good show.
It's not on TV yet.
It's not on TV yet, but it's coming soon to BBC
not,
One.
It's coming soon.
So this is a new series?
Brand new, yeah.
I've mixed it up with another guest. Because it says there Daisy Waterston is in the studio to talk about the final series of the ITV One show, The Durrells.
But this is the new show.
But I thought
this
was another series.
Of Durrells.
No, possibly. Of years and years.
No.
But years and years is brand new.
Brand new show. Russell T Davies.
Then that's fine.
An absolute hero.
Yeah.
Mm.
How'd you find him?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Really great.
Strikes me as very inspirational. It's a person to be around.
He is, and he's had such a varied career, and he, you know, the resurgence of Doctor Who, and A Very English Scandal, which I thought was
great, yeah.
A great TV show. But he just knows how to get a great team of people together and is so inspirational. So I've never worked on a job before where you get every single day off, when you come back from work, you get a text message from Russell T Davies, okay. And he says, well done, love the scene, love this. And it just says like a specific thing from the day that he liked.
Okay.
And you go like, wow, this is amazing. Gives you so much inspiration to do better. But it's the day when he doesn't text you. And you go...
So does he not text critiques?
Oh shit. Wow. What have I done wrong?
Right. How many times did he not text you?
Just once, and he texted the wrong Maxim in his phone.
That's good.
What?
Yeah.
He was like, loads I'm so of sorry.
He had another Maxim. So I was like, oh, okay.
Was it a text message saying,
I was very scared
can I have
at that
a
point.
Page in your magazine, please? Yes. Was that what it said?
No, but it's a show about the end of the world.
Okay.
Told through the kind of lens of a family in Manchester. And I'm actually not from Manchester in the show. I play right. a guy called Victor Goria.
Okay.
I'm a Ukrainian asylum seeker.
Right.
Who gets tortured for his sexuality. Right. In the Ukraine, and it flees the country and comes and tries and lives in the UK, and he meets Daniel, who's part of this family in Manchester, who's a housing officer played by Russell mm-hmm. Tovey, and they have an instant connection and go on a crazy whirlwind of an adventure together and defeat
a
lot
the,
of.
Are you a lead in it? Are you the lead role?
I'm one of the leads. Yeah,
yeah. Say you're the lead. So you're gonna say it. Just crack on. You're the lead.
It's good to check.
Even if you're not,
sometimes
just say you
it
are
does
the lead.
Say on a press release we'll take a leading role on, and then you watch it and you're like. Loose, but okay. But you are actually one of the
Wait, when's that happened?
No, it's a few times.
Has
not
it?
When I've watched it. I've watched
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have but, I interviewed people
you know
that
what?
Haven't been stars
I would
at all?
Say that if I had it, but you actually are because I've seen
yeah.
some clips.
I am in every episode.
Yeah.
So if you watch Years and Years, I'm in every episode.
Right?
Yeah.
As a leading role.
The bloke. So wait, gets right. The little kid from Mr. Bean's Holiday is in.
Years you know, in between that, though, he did
you
a
haven't
skins,
even watched it. You
did
need to watch
skins.
It.
What do you think I'm going to do in the break today, though?
We're going to go and watch
I'll
it.
I'll buy it if I have to.
But you're
on points.
Are
you on points for it? Do you get money for it if I buy it?
Yeah.
I'll buy it.
Why not mentioning Rome? Why not mentioning HBO's Rome or Skins or Sadie J? There's some other projects you've done since.
Oh, Sadie J is a good one, but we won't talk about that.
No, Rome. Mr. Bean's Holiday.
Rome was good.
That
I loved
was a good
Rome.
One. Did you watch that?
I did watch Rome. I liked it.
Played Caesar's son.
That's good.
Caesar's illegitimate son.
What was
it called? Caesarian.
Was he really?
Caesarian.
Yeah. Was he? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, true, real character yeah. mystery.
I didn't watch it. Do you know what? I don't watch any telly.
Have
mate.
You watched anything that I've been in?
No.
I just thought
so.
Generally you don't watch a lot, do you?
Let's have a look.
What did you say? Watch Cracker. You been in Cracker, Maxim?
Cracker, no.
Hang on, Lake Placid. Is Lake Placid the horrible one?
Lake Placid was the film with Bridget Fonda.
Yeah, they did a kind of making of that.
What was the one with that had Jack O'Connell in it?
Jack O'Connell. Oh,
and
Eden
the
Lake.
Skin. Yeah, that's Eden Lake. Something else. No, I've not seen that one. Skins. I'm not. I was in an episode of Skins.
What?
I've not seen it.
It's good. Skins was very good.
Sadie J I didn't see. Rome I didn't see. I think I interviewed somebody else from Rome, didn't I?
Probably.
Yeah. Did you? Oh my God! You interviewed Tom Lucy.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Did I?
Good friends with Tom Lucy.
Oh,
oh
okay.
Tom Lucy,
the comedian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
See, there's a lot. Then you've all got a look about you, aren't you? All your gang.
What of what?
Because Tom Lucy's got a similar look about him to you.
What, boyish?
No, I reckon that. It could be that I've done a lot of judging people on their appearance today.
Yeah,
but
stop
I think
it.
You and Tom
I'm
going to
come
Lucy,
back today and be
it.
Like, Ian is a judger.
Luckily, when you look like me, you are able to do that because people go, "Oh, let him have an opinion," right? I think you and Tom Lucy could be brothers. Genuinely, I do think you look like brothers, but I could imagine him being really pissed off that he wasn't you. Like, do you know what I mean? Them sort of brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Like Phil,
I do see it.
Like Phil and Grant Mitchell, where...
You
this
know.
Is mental.
You could totally be brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell him that. I'm going to tell him that you said that.
But he looks like your scrawny little brother who's yet to grow into himself. But you could then make him feel better by saying, hey, look, when I was
So am I
age,
the older brother?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Are you older than him in real life?
Actually, I don't know. I think we're the same age, but I don't know when he's born. When is
oh,
it?
He's from Kingston. I don't know, he hasn't got his age.
How does it feel doing an interview where all the people do is talk about other people when you're in it?
Yeah, come on, can we talk about me?
19.
I'm here.
He didn't ask me about anything.
Apparently he's 19 years old.
Is he fucked?
But that was a few years ago.
That was in 2016.
Yeah, right. Oh, right, fine.
Yeah, Russell Kane's 15. Yeah, all right. So, we're not allowed to say when this comes out.
Mid-May.
Mid-May.
Oh, you are?
Ooh, so we're already on the 6th of May, so it's close. And how many episodes are there?
Hang on, before we do that.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Why will they not let us say when it comes out?
Because they haven't got a confirmed
date. I'm not telling you a date.
No, you don't have to. But why would we not be... In terms of the logistics of that, in PR and stuff, why would you not be allowed to say?
Because it might move. Sometimes air dates do move and they do change.
Is that the reason?
You don't get the confirmed date until it's confirmed, yes.
Okay.
If I told you it was coming out on a specific day and then they were like, oh, actually, we've changed the date.
Then no one would watch it because they wouldn't trust you because you'd be a liar.
I'd be a liar.
You've given the wrong data. And he's not a liar, as we know.
I'm an honest man.
I've just seen you in Mr. Bean's holiday dressed up as a lady.
Do you trust me?
There was some sort of deceit going on there, wasn't
there? Two parts in that film? Or did there I'm confused.
If you want to know, you just watch it.
Oh, I will do.
Everybody just watch Mr. Bean's Holiday.
Okay, and Years and Years, mid-May.
Years and Years. It's a six-part.
Okay.
One hour long.
Okay.
It's a family saga. It's pretty epic. It explores a lot of big themes. It's quite dark. It's funny.
Yeah, it's funny because Jessica Hines, who's great, is also in it.
Yeah.
Emma Thompson, who I really like, is also funny. And with Rory Kinnear, that's done some comedy and drama. Great.
Again, Maxim has been in this studio. He's been perfectly charming and an amusing gentleman and nice to be around.
I was actually in a comedy film in 2007, Mr. Bean's Holiday.
Were you?
Oh,
right. Did you not know?
What did you play in that?
So why are you going to other people, I guess, more recognised for comedy specifically? You're going, oh yeah, it will be funny because they're in it.
Well, we've already said that he's funny, so I'm just telling you who else is in the cast, as it's very much on the press release, alongside Emma Thompson, Jessica Hines, Rory Kinnear and Russell Tovey.
It was the most agreeable person out of them to work with.
Tough question. I spent most of my days with Russell Tovey.
Yeah.
And we kind of got on really well.
Was he in The Bill?
No.
No.
Right.
He's been in Doctor Who. He's in Him and Her.
I'm thinking of someone else. I know Russell Tovey is, and I've got him placed in my head. So you hung out together?
Yeah, we hung out together. We used to sing a lot of songs on set together.
What, like?
We used to annoy our director, called Simon Kellen-Jones.
Yeah.
We'd come on set and we'd sing. Can you actually? This would be funny if we could do this all together.
Sure.
So we would sing a really recognisable song.
We
would sing. We would sing a really recognisable song, but we'd change one note
okay,
for it
nice.
To be off, like off, like. Bad tuning.
Sure.
And it would just annoy our director so much. We'd be like, do you believe in love after love?
I like that. That's a really annoying thing to
do. And the whole crew was just like,
these kids.
Again.
These pesky kids.
These kids.
Bloody hell.
I heard about him on Russell off Mr. Bean.
Do you ever sing the theme song from Flash, which is what Ian Please used to make interns on
this thing? Can we do it once?
What, to believe?
Yeah.
But all at the same time, I can't be prepared to go solo.
How off does it have to be? Is it just one note?
Oh, you could do any. You could just be like.
I think just because that's a Les Dawson idea, isn't it? So just change one note and make it slightly off. It is really jarring, that.
Okay.
It's proper jarring.
Well, you can clearly
I can't think of a song at the moment.
Fair advantage,
Give me a song to sing a line from. One that I will know.
What will you know? Cotton Eye Joe.
I don't know your music taste. Would you?
Yeah,
like?
I do know it's
a
Randy.
Song that's essentially
right, you
out of.
You like Meatloaf, so do a Meatloaf.
What do you mean
thing?
I like Meatloaf?
You do like Meatloaf.
We're trying to hide musical taste.
You play it all the time on the show. Meatloaf,
Randy.
Well,
I play Randy Newman all the time.
Well,
I play Beautiful South all the time. I've got loads of
Beautiful
people
South.
That I like.
Do Beautiful
South.
South.
Oh, that's really sweet.
36D.
Oh, they disown that song now.
What's that one?
Beautiful South.
Perfect 10.
Paul Heaton would disown that song now.
Yeah, that one.
30s.
Because.
Yeah, he wouldn't sing that live now.
Because.
It's a good song.
He'd consider that to have been a misstep in terms of the implied message within it. Because it's about sort of topless models and stuff, essentially. But it puts a lot of the onus on the model rather than on societal attitudes.
Interesting.
See, I can be smart when I try to be. Just choose not to be. I think that you seem like a really nice lad. I'm not hitting on you.
Was there a butt coming?
No, I do though. It's like, so I sort of don't want you to go. Because it's that. No, I do, because I have people in it.
Can you just sing?
Oh, yeah,
what am I singing? Just maybe not the disagreeable song with Beautiful South disowned.
Yeah. I still like it as a song, but I understand his take on it.
Okay, what about.
Happy Hour? Didn't that one of those?
It's Happy Hour Again. That was a misstep. I think I might be happy if I wasn't out with them.
Yeah, I realise I don't know the song very well, so I'm like, yeah, that sounds right. Yeah,
that could be exactly as it is.
Sounds good.
Now you do one, Nat.
Who? Not the who. Like who?
No, whatever you want. That's a choose.
You just pick one. You pick a Madonna song.
Fuck me.
Pick
a Madonna song.
I'm genuinely enjoying your company, but fuck me, this has dragged this interview.
I don't know. Like, I don't even know how to go off key. Everything I sing is off key. So
turn the mic off.
Yeah, just turn it off.
That's easy. It's been a genuine pleasure chatting with you. It really has. And I wish you all the best with this. But in a sense, oftentimes when I do these interviews, it's like someone who's like sort of on the up and up and that. But you've already got Mr. Bean's holiday.
Exactly. What? So I mean, I can probably retire. I can write my memoir.
All you can do is fall from grace now, which I hope doesn't happen.
Thanks.
But I think you should choose your company better. I wouldn't hang around with Tom Lucy. Russell Tovey, I think, is probably kind of a trendy person, but Tom Lucy, I think, it could end up being a bit of an albatross.
Yeah.
So I'd fuck off Lucy for a start. I would, if at all possible, this is my feedback to you from this interview. I would talk about Mr. Bean's holiday as much more. considerably
is
more.
Is your mic still on?
No, she's off completely. Oh, yeah. Considerably more. You can put your hand up if you think of a song.
We have to move on. I don't want to sing.
See, she sulks. If she's not centre of attention, she actually sulks. She genuinely sulks. She's the producer of the show, but if she's not treated as the star, she genuinely sulks.
Yeah, that's not true. you're the star, Maxim.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. It sounds like you've had a nice time of it, and it sounds like you continue to have a nice time. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Anything else? Is there any question you wish I'd asked you that I didn't? Out of all the varied, rich and varied questions that we asked you. Is there anything that you wish we could have talked about? Is there anything your PR will bollock you for not bringing up when you go out?
Not really. Where's she?
She ran out of the building much earlier.
Yeah,
on.
She's gone.
Are you happy with this interview, or do you want to say other things? She said a thumbs up.
Thumbs up, great.
Well, you didn't see when she ran the corner. She did sort of like that with her hand.
Get him out of there. Yes. He's fucking it up. I meant to not swear because I swear too much.
Him.
I swear too much.
But you're
allowed
to.
How many times have I sworn?
Yes! Yeah, you've been all right. Have they told you not to swear?
They told me not to swear.
Did they?
Yeah. Because I swore a lot in an interview and they were like, come on.
But if that's you...
You got a very large vocabulary.
Which is why you have the right to say fuck whenever you want. That's great, man.
Like a virgin.
See, you could have done
it.
That's all you had to do.
I got embarrassed.
But you ruined it.
Sorry.
Because you didn't want to.
I'm embarrassed in front of Maxim, a BBC actor from Mr. B. No, just
why,
a nice
why,
boy.
What was up with him? What was up with him?
No, nothing. Just he could sing.
Why did you not fancy him? What's wrong with him?
No.
Good looking lad, he was.
Yeah, he was good looking lad.
Good looking lad. And nice personality.
Very nice personality.
Yeah.
And also, he can sing.
Right.
So when you demonstrate that and you can.
Why are you talking? I'm in the middle of a mashup.
Sorry. Give it away, give it away, give it away now. I'll just bust the pack, the plug is on his way now. Give it away, give it away, give it away now. She bust it open for the gang, give it away now. I could recognize when it fit now. That's Phaser and Give It Away. Do you know what? Mm-hmm.
In an ideal world.
Yeah.
When I hear a song like that, which I enjoy listening to, and that, I think, I'd love to speak to Phaser about his song.
Yeah, we do that a lot, and we're like, God, I really like that song.
Do you know what I mean?
Artist.
When you listen to something
like
that.
I could ask them more about it.
I would love to get to underneath the nitty-gritty of that.
It doesn't happen, does it?
Very rarely.
But today is the first day that it could.
Yeah.
Because
Phaser is now sat opposite me. And to the side of now.
What is the likelihood of that?
I know, but isn't that...
How did you manage to make that happen?
It's a rare treat. It's a rare treat.
Oh, amazing.
I'll tell you what else is a rare treat, which I really liked, but I don't know if this makes you less cool, but I really liked it. that when your song was on, you were singing along to it.
Oh yeah, of course.
I really liked that.
Thank you, man. I'm like my own biggest fan.
Yeah.
Like literally.
How could you not be that?
I drive everywhere listening to my own music. I'm in the studios 24/7 listening to my own music. I'm at home. My daughter's sick of my music. She tells me to turn it off now. I play it so much. But yeah, I'm like my biggest fan.
No, so that's the sort of thing, right, that I think within the entertainment industry as a whole would be looked upon as slightly... maybe looked upon unfavourably. And I think the reason for that is because there are many people in the entertainment industry as a whole who hate themselves and what they do because they're not actually doing what they want to be doing.
Right.
So really, if you don't either listen to your own stuff or if it doesn't... So for me, if I make a podcast, I want to be able to listen back to that and laugh and enjoy it.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? I want to go, oh, that was really good. That was really well made. You know what I mean? Mm. If I was making something shit, I was like, I don't listen to that. I'd be like, well, I'm making the wrong stuff. So I think it speaks huge volumes for you that you were there just singing along to your song.
Yeah.
You know what it is? It resonates inside myself. And I have fun making these songs. I do it all myself. I do all the production, the writing, all of that sort of stuff. So I really have fun making these records. And I just have like a mad excitement right now about getting like new music out.
So
it's just like I've been working hard and I just want to just give it out to the world now and then let them have fun with it, really.
So why are you fully independent? For what reason? Is that out of necessity?
That was out of just understanding the industry and taking time off and being in the industry and having the experience that I have. And it's given me a sort of an upper hand to kind of like understand how to run my own thing.
Yeah.
Like start my own label, write all my own music, keep everything in house, no middlemen, and you build your team from outside. You build in your people, your PR, you bring your TV, and you bring everyone around it and you make a product and then put it out to the masses.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people are dependent on labels to do that sort of stuff because they don't really understand how to put out a song.
Bet they don't sing their own song though when it's playing.
We'll have to see. That'll be
no. Do you know what I mean? Genuinely, though, I bet they wouldn't sit there singing along stuff because they'd probably like, I've had a horrendous experience making this song.
Yeah. Right, but some people
I know and I've come across in the industry really don't like the music they make.
Really? No, exactly. Yeah.
And I can imagine it's like that for some of like not to be biased or anything, but like you know some of the talent shows out there, and you know when they come out and you think, oh my god, this artist is amazing. But I know when they come out of there, they're going to come out with some poxy music. Mm. And it's like, all those artists all the time, they're always like, oh, I don't really like the music I'm doing right now. I want to do something that's true to me. And I was just like, man, you've got the opportunity to do that, though.
Well, in them situations, they invariably end up being vessels for somebody else's business plan.
Puppets.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess so.
But we're all puppets, but I like to pull my own strings.
Yeah, no, I don't think we are all puppets, though.
In the entertainment, you know, like...
Do you really think that?
Punch and Judy type thing.
Do you think?
Really? But I like to pull my own strings, that's the thing.
Okay.
In the entertainment world.
I'm not a puppet.
You can be your own puppet.
Not a puppet.
You're not a puppet.
What are you? You are actually a puppet. We had a guess. You've been made into a puppet. He has actually been made into a puppet, haven't you?
Yeah, but I'm not.
It wasn't like a voodoo puppet or nothing like that.
I have a big collection of voodoo dolls at home.
No.
And really, I've been pulling out your teeth recently in them. And you have been going to the dentist. So
I wouldn't be surprised if you did have a load of... That actually wouldn't shock me. If I ever came round your house again...
Yeah,
it wouldn't surprise me.
I'd hide those. They're in the
voodoo
loft.
Dolls of everyone and every guest has ever been on this show.
Yeah.
I'll be a bit freaked out if I went to a girl's house and see a load of voodoo dolls. Can you imagine this?
How would you know they're a voodoo doll? They'd just be a doll, right?
Yeah.
How do you specify it? Here's my voodoo doll collection.
Would the pens be a giveaway?
I don't know, man. I think they expect them to look like those old sort of flipping. When they go to gollywogging, isn't it? Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like that old teddy bear. Like,
teddy bear, yeah.
Please
yeah.
say gollywogging again, so Nat can lose a shit. And look, now you're in a quandary, aren't you?
Wait.
Now you don't know whether to be worried or not, because you're like, okay, well, it's a black dude, but he said gollywog, and I don't know. I don't know which.
I would never say that word.
I don't know what it's called. I don't know what those... That's all those dolls have ever been
Russian
explained
dolls?
To me as that
the,
name.
The Russian dolls...
Maybe that
dolls.
Was the wrong
oh, no,
word
you
for
you
me
no,
to
no,
say.
No, 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 right. I now get what you mean. So if Phage would come back to your house and you had a gollywog, which is what they were called now,
right.
And you had a gollywog with that, he wouldn't know.
Okay.
It was
No. A voodoo doll is not that. It's just a doll of anyone.
But I think Phage was making a joke.
Okay. But then I thought that you think that I'd said something that was about a voodoo doll, and I was like, Jesus Christ, this has gone horribly.
Do you know how?
I'm on the same page.
I only wish we were live.
Yeah.
I love.
Actually, twice I nearly went into heart failure today because really? When I texted Ian earlier and said, "Where are you?" and he goes about 120 miles away. Why? Because I thought that he had just forgotten.
I made out
that
I'd forgotten that the show was up.
Oh,
and
gosh.
It was about half an hour before the show started.
It was 10 minutes.
So, yeah, it was actually 10 minutes.
I got a tendency to do that to people, you know, just wind people up a little bit. Well,
you got to pass the time, haven't you? It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit of a.
Yeah, it was funny.
Please let's talk some more about the dolls at Nat's house.
Oh yeah, come on.
I don't have dolls.
So I saw, just to explain what happened then, I saw in my peripheral vision, as soon as you said that, I just saw Nat move slightly, because I knew she was like going, oh my God,
I can't believe it.
But nothing wrong was said.
It's all good.
No, that's right, it's all good.
It's all good, as long as I don't get made a voodoo doll after this. I can't rule that out now,
Fraser.
You can never rule this thing.
I'm trying to keep on the righteous path right now.
So what's your... I mean, forgive me, because I don't really know your background and stuff.
Okay.
In terms of what you've done musically before.
Okay.
Before doing your own independent stuff.
Yes.
So were you in the... You were in the system, right? You were in that sort of...
Yeah. I was in a group before. One of the biggest groups. One of the biggest groups to come out of this country. It was called N-Dubs. We was in a major deal at the time, which was fantastic. We done wonderful things. And big up to the label and the people around us at the time. They done amazing things with us.
Yeah.
But, you know, as time progresses and your experience progresses, you don't tend to stay stagnant in your line of knowledge. So you gather a lot more information as you're going along, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it got to the point where I was just like, I can control my own stuff and I can run my own stuff and without having to give away everything.
Yeah.
I can change the dynamics around where I can give away a little and keep a lot more.
Mm.
And be able to build something that creates longevity for myself.
Mm.
I don't want to do something where I just sign a deal, singles deal, in and out, get the money in and out, owe a label money, and then they're earning off my masters for the next 10, 15 years. I'd rather just go in and do something small on my own and make it massive on my own, because I understand how to do it.
Yeah.
Like, and I would say to any kid out there that's trying to do this music thing right now and you haven't got a label around you, you're fully capable of doing everything. All the utilities are out there for you to utilize on. Everything's there for you at hand. Just learn how to fill out administration forms. As long as you know how to do like an admin form,
yep,
right, and send it off, and then something's going to come back and it's going to unlock something else and open something. As soon as you know how to do that, you can upload your music, you can send it, you can make emails, you can do whatever you need to do. Learn to do your admin, and then from there it's just like a straight path forward. And I was just trying to show these dudes that you don't really need anyone in this day and age. As long as you've got your internet, your vision and your brand correct, you know what you're doing.
And I think that's a popular, it's certainly my work outlook now of being independent, and I think it's a popular way of conducting yourself within the entertainment industry as a whole at the moment, right? It's certainly it's a growing thing, but I think the tiny stumbling block, and I don't know how you get beyond this, is I think a lot of people do it so I think people would follow your advice in their head going, and then I could sign to a label.
Yeah.
If I got well known enough and don't see
that bypassing. That's not where you want to be looking at. Maybe you want to be looking at, I can become the label.
Yeah.
And then you searching out for new artists that you want to bring into your label. That's where you want to get to. It's not, then I can possibly get signed to a major. Right now, there's so many artists out here that are topping charts and selling millions of records and millions of streams independently without a major record label. They're putting stuff up on SoundCloud, they're putting stuff on Spotify, iTunes, etc., etc., and they're doing big numbers independently. So it just goes to show you don't need a major for this stuff.
And does the chart matter anymore? Is that even a thing anymore?
I don't know. It's nice to have a charting position because it's something to talk about and it's a good PR. It's a good PR front. You know, it's something in the press to talk about. Oh, you got a top 10 record. Da, 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 da.
Yeah,
it's great, but I don't think it's the end or be all
No. And a lot of people, when you ask, like, I don't know what's number one at the moment. A lot of people have different ages in the office. Exactly, right. No one. It's not
I bet
like
I couldn't
people
tell you number one from the last 20 years.
Really?
Quite 20 years. Yeah,
I reckon so.
No, I do think that.
I do know, but there are really big artists that perhaps have never had a number one. But I know who they are as an artist. It doesn't matter to me about their chart position.
Yeah. And I think that's because I think you'd be a fool.
Do you know what it is? It's just the beauty of the internet. Mm-hmm. It's just opened up the whole world now, whereas before we used to be at the mercy of radio and TV.
Yeah.
And that was like, get your record on radio, get your record on TV, you're going to get your chart position, you're going to be in front of the masses. Right now, the masses is your mobile phone. Mm-hmm. So right, we're in a different day and era where music is consumed differently. The way we watch music is different. Everything about it is completely different. Like, before you'd watch TV to wait for a music video to come on, or you'd text in and say, make a request for a video to come on. Nowadays, you just pick up your phone, go on YouTube, and you're there.
Watch it. Yeah.
You want to listen to a song that just come on the radio. What's that song? Shazam, boom. Next thing you know, Spotify, you're up. iTunes, you're up. Do you know what I mean? The way we consume music and everything is different now. So I think it's come a long way from the old school, from where it is, from where it was to where it is. So I feel like right now is a really good time for music.
Yeah. But what are the financial implications of that, though? Because I guess before, well, there was always the thing of signing to a label. It's like, but you never know what they're going to spend your money on.
Yeah.
Or trick you into thinking you're making money.
But that's
the
thing. You got to understand that you got to run it as a business.
Yeah,
so you
got
to set.
That,
you have
to
set your budget. So don't overspend. Don't underspend if you don't need to. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you always got to keep that in mind. But
you can underspend.
You can. Huh?
You can underspend.
You can underspend.
Yeah.
But
should underspend.
I would always say reinvest into your business.
Absolutely.
No matter what.
That.
So don't look at money as like the end. Like this is what we need. Look at it as a means to build your business. Do you not understand?
I totally do, and I think that is another sticking point with people. I think people sometimes get the check and then go, "Woo, done it."
Oh, I've
and
done
it's
it.
Like, no, yes.
I listen.
Same,
I went from
same.
Having no money in my pocket one time, to somebody somebody giving me a Coutts card. You know Coutts, the bank.
Yeah,
but I got a Coutts card, £25,000 on there. I was just like, I had no money in my pocket the day before.
Right.
The next day, I had 25 grand in the Coutts card. I was like, alrighty then. Splash.
Yeah. That's a natural reaction, isn't it, to do that?
That's
how I said, splash. To that. Yeah,
that was like the
best
4 month summer of my life.
4 months?
Honestly.
25 in 4 months? That's
I went shopping, took my friend shopping. Yep. I went shopping, went jewellery shopping.
Holidays.
You know, took my pals away, went to the clubs, done some things. And at the end of it, I was like, oh. What have I got to show?
Yeah.
Oh, I've got a little pinky ring or something like that. And it's just like, next time, when that's never going to happen again. So it's good, though, but it's good to go through that. But just make sure if you can take this knowledge that I've given you now, don't do that first. Do the other thing first and then set up for later. Innit?
Well, everyone's allowed at one point in their life to spend all their money.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
to get in
Come
the
on.
Shit. Everyone's allowed to do that.
Right? To go from one day to looking at a bank account to then being given 25 grand from Coutts, of course you'd be like, oh, amazing. All right.
Blash.
Yeah, but it's
you go spend 300 quid and it's still £24,000. Like, it's still like, all right, mate.
Yeah.
300 quid was a lot of money yesterday. Mm-hmm. I just spent 300 quid and still got 24 grand.
But it really is. It really is getting into that mindset, I think, as an independent. It's getting to the mindset of going, this money is opportunity. This money isn't for nice things necessarily.
No.
In terms of like, you know.
Look, put it like this. I see myself as like a gateway for music here in the UK. I feel like in the next 10 years, what I'm going to do with my group again and our label and the independency of everything, I feel like in the next 10 years I could be somewhere where I'm signing brand new acts, bringing new artists out under our label, which is an independent, but the way we model ourselves is that we care about our artists and what they artists get, because we've been in situations where we've been annihilated and woken up in the morning feeling like I'm just trying to model myself on that. So at the end of in 10 years time, we're in a place where we're signing people and we're a major outlet that cares about artists, and that's my thing.
Do you think I would be good on it?
Say that again.
Do you think I would be good on your label
as a singer?
Yeah.
Could do that, yeah.
Yeah, I think you'd need a demo or something. But maybe a live one now.
No, I don't want to. No. I'm
hey, listen, as not, long as
I'm
you're
cheaping myself.
Listen, as long as you leave for Van Dross in the shower, it's all good, isn't it?
Just record it in the shower.
Yeah.
So you feel comfortable in most in the shower.
Listen, yeah. I sing the best in the shower.
Do you have a little recorder there?
I'm like Lionel Richie in there. Honestly.
Well, you should be careful, because if you do dancing on the ceiling in a shower, then you could do yourself a mischief.
Do you imagine?
Hey, do you know what? I've really enjoyed chatting with you.
Yeah, no, it's been insightful. Yeah.
I really have. And it's I always, you know, I think Nat's quite canny in certain guests that she books, because she knows that I'll gel in terms of the ethos.
The idea
of being independent, I'm very for that. Yeah,
right,
agreed.
Now. You know,
do you ever worry that you're encouraging too many people to do it and it's just making the marketplace unsustainable for your own business?
No, not at all. Do you know what it is? There's so many people in the world, and like I said, the World Wide Web is an amazing thing. It's like you connect all the dots. There's other territories away from England that will listen to good music as long as you're putting out good music.
Yeah,
people want
to
hear.
I think you're
music.
Right with the chart positioning. Because I was going to say on press releases now, it used to be what number you got to in the chart, but now it's about how many views
streams
your videos had,
how many streams people have listened,
rather than what chart number you're at.
Yeah,
which is good.
So I feel like we're in a good place right now, and I like it, because there was a point where it had the transition from, I don't know, like MP3s and the downloads, the illegal downloads, to where we're at now.
Yeah,
it was up in the air where it's like, oh my gosh, people are compromising on record sales because of downloads and that.
Yeah,
but the way everything's set now is like you can really make good moves with this stuff now.
I agree. Well, it's been lovely chatting.
I love that, man.
Very inspirational.
Of course.
Very inspirational yourself.
But listen, man. Oh. Like I said, man, I just want to inspire the youth. That's it. That's my thing.
Yeah, good for you, man.
The greatest love of all.
And my thing is in life, I have to give back.
You crashed the lyric.
I have to give back. I'm sorry.
I get it, Tony, and I absolutely trust you on that. Yeah. Like, I really do. You know,
yeah,
I
honestly.
I can spell bullshit a mile off, and I totally trust you on that.
I feel that's like my calling in life. Like, let me just show these kids, like, yo, you can do this thing. You don't need no one. Just have your vision, have your plan, and make sure that you can
aspire to bigger things. Yes.
I think this is the best radio production I've ever done.
It sounds really seamless.
Phaser, cheers.
Thank you, Phaser.
Pleasure. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be. And so I learned to depend on me.
I feel like we've had a very inspirational show today.
I do feel like that. We've had the previous two guests and the incoming guests, I think, is going to bring some inspiration, but the last two have.
There's no pressure on this, Daisy.
There's no pressure, Daisy, for you. But
I do feel like that this could be the sort of show that's sort of retained for posterity as being a changing point.
For both of us, or just for the listenership?
For the world.
For the world, okay. Let's
open
up.
Is that too much?
No, it's not too much to ask. I think you're right.
I don't think I'm making too bold.
Pin this show to the... For the world, this is for you, world.
I reckon so. We're joined now by Daisy Waterstone. We're here to talk about the Durrells.
Hello, thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. And again, don't take that as any pressure.
Okay, no.
Don't feel that you have to be inspirational, because you don't.
I'm not a very inspirational person, so I'll just put that out there.
That statement alone
could be seen as inspiring.
Yeah.
Because it could be like, look, even Daisy, who's on that series and that, even she feels that she doesn't give enough. When you clearly do.
You give a lot to the nation by being on that show.
That's very sweet. Thank you. I just kind of hope for the best, really.
I think that was really condescending.
No, I've gone very Oprah now, I think. I'm talking how Oprah would say it if it was on her show.
More of that. I enjoyed that. Do some more, like, sort of...
Oprah type.
Yeah.
You get a car. That's how Oprah says.
We can't give cars away.
Okay. I'd say Daisy in your name as in Oprah style. Please welcome Daisy Waterstone. That's Oprah. That's how she says everyone's name. It would be like Ian Boldsworth. She goes up at the end.
Are you regretting starting this?
No, not at all, because I love Oprah. I could be Oprah all day.
You could meet Oprah.
Be Oprah. I find her so inspirational.
Right.
I love Oprah.
Let me tell you right now, mm-hmm. if you ever wake up in the morning and think, I'm going to be Oprah all day,
yep.
please don't do that.
Why?
I just think
she's an
really,
icon.
I think it'd be really controversial.
Oh, okay.
If you did that.
All right.
I've not seen the Durrells.
I mean, I don't watch it because I hate watching myself. But
Do you really?
Yeah, I find it a bit stressful because I'm always just... I'm such an insecure person, actually.
Okay, yeah.
So I find it a bit tricky. I have seen it, like, a little bit of it, but I do find it quite tough. But
okay.
I'll only watch it with a glass of wine in my hand. And,
so, see, some people, I think, wouldn't understand that in terms of that somebody who was a performer could have that insecurity to the point where they kind of don't even watch it.
Yeah, well, I think it's good because you have to be really vulnerable as an actor.
Yeah.
And you have to kind of give yourself to it. And then once it's done, you kind of, like, lost that feeling because that feeling was over now. Mm. Like, months later, if you watch it again, I kind of feel detached from it.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's I find it an odd thing because for something that's so instinctual in many cases as an actor, you know, you're working on instinct and what you feel you should be putting across, that you have to kind of surrender that instinct later on.
Right.
If you watch yourself back and go, oh, that was awful, if the people are going, no, it wasn't, that's exactly what we want, you have to surrender your own instinct. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you do. You have to kind of, like, be in the moment, really, and then rely on that.
Yeah.
And I was never trained as an actor, I don't know, so I just rely on the moment and what I'm feeling, and then sometimes it works and sometimes it really doesn't.
Yeah.
And kind of dread to watch the moments where it really doesn't.
Yeah.
That's
or where you perceive it to have not worked.
Yeah.
But I would counter argue that if it wasn't working, you wouldn't get cast.
Mm. Yeah, well, you know, it's been a bit of a whirlwind journey, to be honest. And I was only 21 when I got it, and I still feel a bit like I'm waiting to hear if I got the part or not.
Right,
How quickly this has all gone, and now it's the last series, and I kind of still feel like I'm still 21. Waiting to hear from my agent.
So is this your first acting job?
It's not. I started when I was 19, and I'm 24 now. But I started when I was 21, and I was doing kind of small parts and stuff. And I did a play. I was doing a play at the National, a very small part, when I found out I got the Durrells, and where Gillian Suzanne, the casting director, saw me in the play and then auditioned me, and then I got it.
Mm.
But it was like my first lead, pretty much. Mm. And I mean, I did school plays and stuff, and I did leads in school plays. But it was, you know, it was quite scary because I'd done filming before as well, but I'd only done 1 or 2 days. And I remember I did an Agatha Christie thing about 2 months before we started filming The Durrells, and I only had about 2 days filming. And on the second day, I remember coming home. I wrapped at about lunchtime, and I remember coming home and just falling asleep and being exhausted. And I was like, how am I going to do months and months of filming every day if, you know, I'm just exhausted after a day and a half of filming? But
So how did that... Because within your story there, it was like, yeah, I was doing a show at The National, and then I got spotted by a casting director, which is all well and good, but it's like, but the bit that I'm interested in is that how did you end up, how were you in the National? It's not that you said, oh, they saw me at the Old Red Lion.
Yeah.
You know, it was at the National Theatre.
Well, when I left school, I did a foundation course in acting.
Okay,
and
right.
Really wanted to go to drama school, but didn't get in. And then when I was 19...
Where did you apply?
I applied to RADA, Lambda, Guildhall.
Let's call them all out.
All, yeah. How dare you?
Yeah, yes. Last one.
You made a mistake.
Yeah, you're listening, RADA.
Yeah.
You're listening, you idiots.
Yes.
Well, you know, I thought that was what you were meant to do, but then I kind of got... I didn't want to wait another year and audition again, so I thought, well, maybe I'll just get an agent and start working. And I made a showreel, and I rented a camera and made a showreel of me doing monologues in my bedroom.
Wow, okay.
And then just sent
it. Which could have been awful.
Yeah, it could. I mean, it was. I think my plan was just to do that and send it to a lot of people on every agent submissions website. There used to be submission emails where you could just literally, they had it on their website, you could just send stuff in.
Right.
And I thought, I'm just going to give it a go. It might be terrible, and like, but I've got nothing to lose. And then I sent it and got one reply, and then started acting, you know. And then
Are they
still
your agent now?
No, I've actually moved. But they were great. They were really great.
Oh,
they were great. But
how quick the move.
I met my new agent after, and I kind of felt a lot more connected to her.
Okay.
But they were amazing, my old agents. They were brilliant, and they got me where I am today, really. But I met my agent and while I was filming, and kind of thought she was actually right for me.
Right.
But, you know, it's tricky, those kind of things.
See, it is inspirational already. So.
I know, right? You probably...
See, she came in going, oh, I'm not very inspirational. And already, already talking about doing it on your own.
I knew that she was.
About finding your own way through.
Exactly.
Not going the conventional route, all them sort of things. Now it has worked out, so... She doesn't even know she's doing it.
No. And that, in a way, is inspirational that you don't know you're doing it, rather than going, here's another nugget of inspiration for you guys. Yeah, well, that would be way worse if you did it like
that's
that,
what
right?
I do.
Yeah,
that's
you
what
would
I do.
Do it like that. Ian I would give, do it like
I give,
that.
Okay, let
here's
me get
a shower,
you this.
Shower of inspiration for you, is what you would say.
Well, yeah. I mean, early 20s are weird. It's like very weird. Like, you're just going to like plod through. You don't
yeah,
really know what
I've
you're
heard
doing
that.
And follow
but,
your heart.
Yeah, but I think there's certain people who do, who are a bit more savvy, though.
Yeah.
Even in their early 20s, because I think back and think that I wasn't. I think I liked the idea to think at the time that I was.
Mm. Yeah.
And when I look back at it now, I'm like, oh no, I did that wrong, I did that wrong, I did
yeah.
that. But I always had the aura of someone who was in charge, and
right.
the aura of someone who was like, you know, no bullshit, and like, you know, oh, we're doing this, and we'll do this, and do this, and do this. But it wasn't executed well
yeah.
at that point. I'd be able to do it better now. Not perfectly, but better
yeah.
now. Mm. But I think there are certain people of a younger age who do have that in them, who are kind of considered and
I
do.
Guess. I mean, like, I've always been very driven and I kind of wanted to start immediately. And I've got a lot of older siblings as well who
yeah.
are much older than me.
Yeah.
So they always say in the 20s, like, you have no idea what's going on. So
yeah.
I'm kind of going with that slash trying my best and
yeah.
hoping for the best.
I'm curious mm. when you said I've got a lot of older, so how many is a lot?
Well, there's 8 of us and I'm the youngest and my oldest brother is 57, I think, maybe 56.
That is a lot.
That is way
you're
older,
correct, Daisy. That is a lot.
That is way,
yeah.
way older, isn't it?
That is a lot older, actually, yeah.
Yeah, so, and they're all kind of different generations. My dad's had kids born in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. So he's seen.
This is saying a
he's
lot
seen
you,
it
man.
All. A lot.
I think we're all getting a picture of your dad at the moment.
Yeah.
Has he stopped now, or has he got a few more to come in the noughties?
Well, I mean, he always, because I'm the youngest, he always says Daisy's my youngest child that I know of. So
right,
that's,
right.
That's a classic. Yeah.
It sounds like a machine.
Yeah. I mean, he's 80 at the end of the, well, next month, and, you know, and he's doing very well. You know.
And you're, and what did you say you were? 24, did you say?
But I'm 24 now, yeah.
Right, and he's 80?
Well, he was 55 when he had me.
Good Lord above.
Yeah.
Still got time for a couple more if you want it.
I'm 10 years below that and I can't even get up for a wank.
Oh God, that's an image that no one needs.
Why? Of nothing happening?
Oh right, yeah, it's true, of you just lying
yeah.
there whimpering.
Yeah, there's no image there now. Do you not think, you know when you said you filmed yourself in your bedroom or whatever,
yeah.
doing monologues and stuff, you know when you know when people talk about moments in your history that really could have gone either way?
Right.
Something like that could actually have ended up just being something that was passed around the internet with people laughing at it.
You're right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
you're
it really
so right.
Could, that is such a risky thing to do.
It was
if
risky.
You don't nail it.
Yeah. It was risky, and I didn't actually think about that at the time.
Well, you
but I'm glad
would you?
I didn't.
Of course,
I think if I didn't, if I thought about that at the time, maybe I wouldn't have done it.
Mm. Yeah. So there's a real sort of, I guess, there's a key thing in there, isn't there, about instinct, about going with what you think is the
yeah.
right thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm a big follower. I've always had quite strong instinct of what I feel is right and wrong. And,
yeah.
And I feel, you know, that's been very helpful to me.
How ambitious are you?
I mean, I'm very ambitious. I mean, I don't really know how to explain it, but
yeah.
I've always... I mean, I had an agent when I was 12 and then kind of only for a few months and I thought, hang on, I don't think I'm going to be a child actor, but I want to be an actor as an adult.
Yeah.
And decided
nothing
to leave
child
them.
Actors, by the way.
No,
I met one
yeah.
earlier on.
We
it was in Mr. Bean's Holiday.
Yeah.
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 He was a little boy out of Mr. Bean's Holiday.
Oh, Max.
Yes.
Yeah.
yeah, Max.
I knew him from NYD, yeah.
Oh.
Years ago, yeah.
I like that, the full circle of life.
Now look at him.
Yeah, look at him now. He's in years and years.
Good-looking grown-up now, isn't he?
Yes, but I like that you know him and we've come in a full circle on the show to go, oh, Max, yeah.
Yeah.
Or Bill, as he prefers to be called, he told us, didn't
oh.
he?
Don't get
for some reason.
That.
He did.
He did say
he
that.
He did say Bill, yeah.
He said his mate was Bill. Yeah, okay, so you didn't want to be a child actor, so
no.
yeah, so there's consideration even at that age.
Yeah, I kind of felt like I wasn't good enough when I was a kid.
Oh, right, okay.
And I felt like I really wanted to act, so I just thought, you know what, I'm gonna wait until I finish school and I grow up, and so I've always had it in my head as my plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where does the plan go? Is it a secret, the plan from now?
I mean, at the moment, I'm just going to hope for the best and try my hardest. And,
mm.
you know, and I'm so thankful that I got the Durrells so young because it's been a big platform for me.
Yeah.
And especially playing a character that's, like, so open and feminist and brave. And, you know, and there aren't many young girl characters like that out there at the moment.
Are they not? Are they really not?
Well, I mean, someone like Margot, who's very eccentric and strong with, you know, and without a father, and you know, growing up with all these brothers as well. Mm. And yeah. I think I'm very blessed that I got to play her. You know, at such a young age.
And do you have is there a because you obviously you're wrapped on this. It's
the final series coming
for a final series. Yes. Have you got a next step now? Are you in the middle? Have you started doing something else now? Or are you just
I'm auditioning and tight? I'm trying to, you know, discover myself a little bit.
Okay.
And I've been getting quite nervous recently as well, which isn't helpful. And like
about what?
Just about auditioning and
And
I think that's part of the process though. And I didn't have that when I was younger, but now I do. And I feel like it's, you know, that's still part of me, and it means I care about it a lot.
Is that because you're no longer faceless? In an audition scenario.
Yeah, well, sometimes I am, which is good, because, you know, not everyone watches TV, obviously.
Yeah.
But well, obviously, in audition, they do. But I think, you know...
But they'll have on your CV, they know what you've done.
Yeah,
so that brings something with it if you've been in, you know...
Yeah, and I feel like part of it is that, you know, I have stuff to lose now, and I think when I was younger, I didn't have anything to lose,
okay.
And I was going for it. And now I'm kind of... I want to kind of play a different character to Margot now, and I want to do something different.
Yeah.
And I feel like I don't want to be known as the kooky, eccentric girl. I want to, you know, move on and do different parts.
Mm.
Mm. And so, you know, it's... But I'm very lucky that I'm even thought of as something.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, that's... At 24 as well, being thought of as some kind of character as an actress I'm very lucky about that.
And it's but you're right. It is a difficult thing to go against type if your type has been decided.
Yes, yeah.
It's certainly in that industry anyway. You know, which is so unthinking most of the time. So
yeah, but you know what? It's I'm lucky that I've been going up for lots of different kinds of parts. So it's good practice and good way of kind of discovering new characters and stuff for me.
And nervous is good, I think.
Yeah, it means I really care about it.
It'd be better than
swanning
in there like some fucking, you know, prima donna and giving it to know who I am. You know?
Yeah.
Well, there's lots of very well, you know, established artists that said that they always get nervous before they go on stage or before they go on a tour or they go on...
But I think that's different.
I quite like that,
I think that's
though.
Different to I think auditions is a whole different...
No, that's...
I think unless you've experienced an audition, even just one...
I don't mean this
in a condescending way. You've genuinely no idea what that is like.
No, I can believe it, because the thought of me going into a room on anything with lots of people in there is a bit...
Yeah.
Fills me with like fear.
I mean, sometimes then it's a piece of piss. Oprah, sometimes you go to an audition and you're like, oh, no, yeah, that was right.
If you feel like
they felt it was right. And that, you know, like that.
Maybe if you know people more, or does that still not affect it?
So. I mean, it depends on like what day it is.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, you can have a good day, you can have a bad day, you know, and it's all about that, really. But they know you're nervous and they know you are, but it's all about whether you're in your brain, you feel confident.
Mm.
And it's all about confidence, really. Mm. Yeah.
Isn't it weird that you have to audition?
No, I don't think
it is.
Why?
I really think it is.
Because they could just...
Because your ability is there on show already.
But you've said that you don't want to be tight or
that's
in that
true.
Particular
no, that,
part,
okay.
So if
then,
they
then
do watch
true.
That,
yeah.
then you're nothing
think,
like that
you know,
character.
Not just for them, but for me as well. I need to try it and try it out. And if I can't do it, then I can't do it. But I'm nowhere near that stage that I can't audition for things.
Well, there's lots of, you know, again, established actors that still say, I still have to go to audition.
Yeah, really
yeah.
established
been in,
people.
Yeah, there. Been in big plays, big films, but I still am called in because it was a part that I've not played before. They want to see if I can do it.
Yeah, I mean, and also it's about whether you click with the director as well.
Yeah, the relationship aspects of it.
Yeah, whether they feel like they can direct you and if you have an understanding of each other.
Mm.
And that's very important.
I hope it's not a crippling thing for you, that nerves thing.
Hopefully it won't be. I mean, at the moment it isn't, but fingers crossed.
Yeah.
And need to, you know, plug away.
Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, now I feel like we've gone melancholic.
No, I was going to say about the Daryls that it's on it's an 8 p.m. Sunday night drama on BBC One, ITV One, sorry.
That was awful.
That was awful. Say it again. You say it. Better then.
Well, the Daryls is an ITV One drama. It's at what time of the night?
Well, that's terrible.
Is it 8
terrible.
PM?
I said it though. I said 8 p.m.
BBC One, you said.
Also, it's quite clearly on the bit of paper as well. Sundays at 8 p.m. Well, that's the problem. He doesn't read paper.
Don't read the bit
of paper. So how are you supposed to know?
Just put these in front of me. Just don't read them. Pointless. Because I've just been.
Do you know what? Let's take
person.
Three. Daisy, you're the best person to do it. You tell us.
Yeah. Well, the last two episodes left, and it will be at 8 p.m. Sundays on ITV.
Perfect. Nailed that.
Is there a big climax to the series?
I mean, it's 1939 and tensions are high.
Why, what? I don't know what could have happened.
The nerves
seem to come in. Nothing major that I can think of. Yeah.
Thank you for explaining.
Is it fully done, or sorry, is there a point that it could be left open to resurrect it or make it into a film?
I mean, who knows? Okay. Who knows? I think at the moment we've finished it and Simon's finished writing it.
Yeah.
But who knows? Who knows?
Who wrote it?
Simon Nye.
Oh, did it? Simon
Nye
write
it? Yeah, Simon Nye wrote it.
Did Simon Nye write that one? I can't even remember what it ended up being called. It was about two gay guys in a relationship who had a dog walker. That's all I remember about it. And I think Ian McKellen ended up playing it.
Oh, the one with Ian McKellen and Derek Jacobi?
Yeah, that one.
Oh, God, I know the one you mean. I'm going to Google it. And it had Francis de la Tour in it.
Rob Rouse did the warm-up on it. He was talking about it the other day.
Oh, God.
But I think that was a show that Simon Nye wrote years ago.
Then
went through a lot of development stuff. Yeah. I was up for it. I remember being up for it. I went in casting. It was me and Carl Pilkington went in to cast for it.
Really?
For the dog walk. Vicious, yeah, that one.
That's it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm fact-checking if you
wrote
it.
Was it Simon Nye originally? If it wasn't, Simon Nye did write one very similar. That was a very similar idea.
I don't think he did write that, no.
Isn't that interesting?
Very interesting.
I always presumed it was the same programme.
Yep.
But yeah, I went up for that one.
Didn't write that.
Didn't get that one. But neither did
Carl Reggie Pairing.
That was the remake.
One. Just William, in with the Flynns, but did not write Vicious.
Well, there we go. Well, that's all settled. Simon Nye has a tendency, and I don't say this as criticism, to revisit like further down the line,
yes.
Doesn't he?
He obviously has a deep love for Gerald Durrell as well. Yeah. He obviously has a profound love. And also he's got four kids as well, and he's, he understands the kids' stuff.
Oh, I thought you meant so he needs the money.
Actually, I did too. Well, I've got four kids, so he's got to keep writing.
He's got four kids, mortgage, honey. It's either that or Men Behaving Badly. He's going to do one of them, isn't he?
He also writes the pantos, didn't he? Remember, there used to be all Christmas pantos
every year with
really big comedians.
Really?
And Simon Nye, I always remember.
At the Palladium
and
stuff.
Yeah.
He's very clever, and he's got a great sense of humour, and he's so great at writing for us individually as well. Mm. He's like, as the years have gone on, he's written for
just seeing what his new projects are.
Has that improved? And has that? Have you noticed as it's gone on that you're like, okay, now he's really writing for me now?
I've really noticed it, and it's and I'm so lucky that someone's basically writing for me, basically.
Yeah.
And that's such a blessing as an actor that it's so natural because it's something you'd say. So.
And smart of him.
Very smart of him. Very smart.
Really,
of him.
To lock into that.
Yeah.
Because then you get that symbiosis thing where you're like you feel utterly respected and utterly sort of not that you need your ego massaging, but there is an element of that within that community that the acting community where you're like, oh, that is really cool because he is now,
well, it's a big element of comfort, I think, and knowing that he's kind of believes in you to do his writing really well, and he writes such great stuff for me throughout the years. I've got to do the most amazing things, and I've got to do like magic, and I've got to do like, there's so much I had, and I'm so lucky about that.
Oh, ace. Well, I'm a bit annoyed that I didn't watch it.
Well, it's on Netflix as well now.
It's the first two are on Netflix. And
would I like it?
Yes.
I think you would. It's very British, and it's not much happens in it. It's not very dramatic, but
I
liked My Family and Other Animals, which I remember was a BBC one with I think it was Romola Gary playing your character that version on the BBC. Yeah. It was good.
Really?
What's
that? I don't know what.
So it's based on, isn't it, My Family?
I think it might have been Tamsin Merchant, actually.
Okay. Oh, maybe it was. I remember she was in it, though.
Maybe.
You could be right. But that's why I saw that one and thought it's really good, and it's sort of a continuation.
Yeah, the Durrells are sort of a series version, because that was based on exactly My Family and Other Animals.
Yeah.
And Simon's kind of written new stories in and stuff to make it last 4 years, essentially. And new stories, and also a lot of stories that were in the book, but he's kind of adapted them a bit. But all in the characters' world, and all the characters are exactly the same.
How many series are there now? How many apps are there? How many episodes are there?
In series four, there's six, and one and two, there are six, but in three, there are eight.
I can do that. I can manage that. Hour?
An hour, yeah.
But ITV hour, so
40 ITV
minutes.
ITV hour, so yeah, 40
minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can handle that.
Easy.
I rarely get to see any television. I'm a quite busy boy, but I was saying it to Nat before. She was saying, have you not seen that? And I went, I don't watch telly. This is off air.
Yeah.
And then I went, oh, hang on. I watched all of Cracker last week.
What's that? What's Cracker?
Cracker, Robbie Coltrane, Cracker.
He was the psychologist, wasn't he?
Do you not know about
Jimmy?
Do you know Jimmy McGovern?
Jimmy McGovern.
Okay.
The writer.
Fucking amazing.
Yeah,
it's really
Big Hill Train.
Yeah,
is it, what's it on to it be was, able to watch? Is it on Netflix
got the DVD,
or Amazon?
So I don't know if it's on anything.
Right.
But Cracker was Robbie Coltrane playing a criminal psychologist. Mm-hmm. He's amazing in it. But mm-hmm. like Geraldine Somerville is in it. Okay. Christopher Eccleston's in it. Ricky Tomlinson's in it.
Yeah.
What's the guy called Lachlan? The guy who played.
I know the main. I can't remember his name.
Anyway. It's amazing. And how it was released at the time was it wasn't really series.
Yeah.
They were just like, I think Prime Suspects was a similar thing. They just come out with specials every now and again. And okay. it was an ongoing story. It was stunning. Cracker was stunning.
Okay, I'll definitely watch it. Yeah, thanks for recommending.
It's worth it, yeah.
I'm quite bad at watching TV. I just watch The Simpsons.
Take that off in case there's spoilers on it.
Oh, no, then you're saying his name's Lorcan Cranich. And you're it was Tamsin version. I was thinking of Romola Gary and I Capture the Castle. But you're quite right. In my family, other than I was, it was Tamsin.
Yeah.
That's all the corrections stuff.
I'll watch Durrells if you watch Cracker.
Okay.
And I've got no
financial investment in Cracker at all.
It's so good. Right. Yeah. You can binge watch
never
it.
Never even
as well.
Met Jimmy McGovern. But I will put that forward as being one of the best TV dramas of all time.
I'll definitely watch it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
And with the views also, when you watch it, think about you'll do it automatically. I think it's one of the strongest examples of character development over a couple of years that you'll ever see.
Okay.
The start point with those characters, the end point with those characters is incredible.
Great.
It's an incredible journey. Yeah.
Perfect.
Brutal, though.
Yeah. Be
Warn
prepared.
You know. We're in a bit of an awkward situation here.
Why?
54.
Right.
I'm on.
And we normally finish
got
at
6 minutes.
Well, we've got time to thank all the guests that have come on the show. No, because you're going to play your song as the outro music.
My song?
The Star Wars thingy that you play.
Oh, right, it's not mine.
Well, it's not your personal. it is on this show, though, isn't it?
Imagine if I just click that and just me singing.
Here's my track.
Yeah.
Well.
Now is the time to say goodbye.
That song's a long one as well, so thank all the guests and then pop on Star Wars.
All right. No, I'll do it as a bed.
Oh, fancy.
So I'll just have it on in the background. Well.
Had a lovely show.
We have had a smashing show today, and I'd like to thank all the guests that we had on the show today, who all have been inspirational in their own way.
Yeah.
Some of whom have even done themselves down about not being inspirational. I'm thinking, of course, of Daisy Waterston, who's still in the studio now, who proved to be the complete opposite of what she claimed she was originally.
That's very sweet.
I don't mean an actor. I mean the bit where you said you weren't inspirational, because you were very inspirational.
I think
a lovely chat that
also
was.
Also inspirational, we had Facebook.
Wait. Okay. Don't forget the Durrells is on, of course, at ITV1 on Sunday at 8 p.m. We also had Fazer in the studio, mm-hmm. who I didn't even know was in N-dubs mm-hmm. when he came in, and even if I had known, I don't know what N-dubs is.
Right. But now you do know, because he was lovely
and
inspirational.
I know Teresa was in it, because you just told me that.
Yeah.
But he was a lovely lad
as well.
And a great chat we had. Mm-hmm. And don't forget his new song, Give It Away, you can get here.
Out now.
It says here on there.
That means he's here. As in next door? Come on.
Well, they should update that to say gone.
Oh, I suppose, yeah.
And of course, we had Maxim Baldry earlier on, who it transpired was best friends with Daisy Waterston.
Yeah, not best friends. I mean,
yes, you were best friends.
We shared the occasional conversation.
That's all it takes in showbiz. Okay. You're best friends.
Best friends.
That's all it is.
Best friends for life. Who, of course, we're talking about Years and Years, the BBC One TV show.
Correct.
Don't forget the Durrells.
Coming soon.
Is ITV1.
Yes. And that's on at the moment.
A idiotic mistake to
Which
say it was on BBC
I did
One.
Make that idiotic mistake, and I apologise.
All right, hang on. We're done. We can get away with it. All right, thanks for joining us. Bye.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.